Hello. I'm sorry, my microphone was off and I blew it again. I do that all the time. This is the that was an Irish washwoman. It's a familiar Irish tune, and not too many people know the title. The title's not extremely fitting for St. Patrick's Day. However, all of the other Irish music I have would either put you to sleep or make you cry, which I didn't want. So that's what we got. It's St. Patrick's Day is a good excuse for most of the people I know in America of Irish descent to stay drunk all day and make fools of themselves. That's the way it was when I was younger, and I'm part Irish. I have a few things to say today. First, I finally published the obituary for Richard Porter on the Saxon Messenger, which our friends at the New Ensign were kind enough to supply us with. And that there's a little in memoriam section on the Saxon Messenger, and the home of that obituary will remain there, along with a letter that Sussex Man received from Richard Porter, which more or less blesses his publication of Richard Porter's articles, in spite of what his niece Alison Porter feels about that. I have a few things to say today before we get started with our fellowship conversation. I had one inquiry from an attendee here, and I'll leave it at that at the Euro Fellowship Forum, and I'd like to address that. First, let me say that this is William Fink, and this is the Christogenia Euro Fellowship Forum. It is Thursday, March 17th, 2011, and welcome everybody. I made some seemingly callous remarks on Monday's Christogenia Open Forum, and I was asked about them, so I thought I'd make a few comments in that area, off the cuff, more or less. I have Luke chapter 13 I brought up in front of me, and I basically made the remark that I couldn't care less if the nuclear reactors in Japan melted down and Tokyo went to the center of the earth, and I'll maintain that position. That might sound callous, but that's my position, and I'm going to take a minute to explain why. First, let me read Luke chapter 13, and I'm only going to read the first five or six verses, maybe not even. No, maybe the first five verses from the King James Version. There were present at that season some that told him, meaning Christ, of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifice. And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay. But except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Verse 4. Or those 18, upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. That's the empathy of Yahweh towards the people who suffer adversity. Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. We think of calamities as horrible things, and I look at them as the judgment of God. That's the way it is. Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. The Japanese people are not Christians. They're not under the Christian covenants. No matter how much the American and European missionaries would love to convert them and win souls for Christ, we just don't get it. Christ already has his souls. He doesn't need any man to win anything for him. He is God. Period. The gospel message was to go out to the children of Israel as an announcement and a warning for them to repent and return to the God of their covenants, their Creator. These other races, all of the non-Christian peoples of the world, what do you think the marriage supper of the Lamb is all about in Revelation chapter 19? When Christ goes out to war and make war and destroy all those people who are gathered against the children of Israel. If you think the calamity is going to come upon us, it's going to come upon us much harder if we're found with the sinners. That's why we're told to come out from among them. Because the day is coming when only the children of Israel will be left, no matter what Eli James might think. All nations have gathered against me, but in the name of Yahweh, I will destroy them. That's a messianic prophecy. It's found in Psalm 136. When calamity comes upon sinners, or upon people who aren't our brethren and aren't a part of the covenants in the nation and the fellowship that we have with our God, I don't have any empathy towards them. That's the way it is. If San Francisco fell into the ocean tomorrow, I have no empathy for them. They're sinners. They've accepted all sorts of sexual deviancy. They've chosen to live among all sorts of sexual deviance. Whatever they would get, I would feel they would deserve. And for Japan and China and all those Asian nations, well, I would think that we had no business industrializing them in the first place. When we support their industrialization, we join in their sin. That's the way it is. Whatever calamities befell the people of Japan, China, or anywhere else in the non-Israelite world, I care not. That's the way it is. Christ evidently didn't have much empathy in Luke 13 for his own people who suffered calamity. Because we have to understand that the English word crisis is the same word as the Greek word judgment, krisis. It's the same word. That's where we got the word from. Our English ancestors took the Greek word krisis, meaning the judgment, and in the Christian context, it means the judgment of God. And they applied it to the idea of calamity, and that's where we have this word crisis from. And when someone undergoes a crisis, that's a judgment from God. We have to understand that. We have to look at it that way, because God surely has a hand in the world. These things don't happen by accident. So that's all I'll say on that topic. And if you want to continue to think that I'm callous, well, I just think from a totally different perspective. And that's my perspective. That's the way that'll stay. Okay, I have some good news. There's a gentleman that's in the Christogenia forum, and every once in a while he's in talk show. He must be a busy guy, but he keeps himself busy because he translated about maybe 30 identity papers into the French language, and he did this himself. He's a Belgian by nationality. He's a French-speaking Belgian. I can't speak for the quality of the French translation, but I know that he's an intelligent and well-meaning and earnest Christian brother, and I took his French translations and I published them in a new French language paper section on the Saxon Messenger site, and one of the papers belongs to Eli James. And I published it, and it's you know, if it was the beast of the field, I wouldn't have. But it was actually his paper explaining Christian identity to atheists and pagans, and I thought it would be good to publish it. And another one or two of the papers belong to Clifton, and one to Sheldon Emery, and one to Richard Niemela. But about 25 of the papers came from my writing, and I think that he probably did a good deed there. He published all of my German origins papers he translated and many of my biblical essays. Aside from that, I have an invitation. I don't know if it's well, I'm guessing it's related to Eli's radio program, which he did this morning on this OracleBroadcasting.com site and this Truth Hurts program, and Charles Giuliani is the gentleman that does that program. Of course, I didn't listen to Eli's visit with him this morning, but he's invited me to be on his program. I'm going to answer him tomorrow at length, and I'm going to answer positively, of course. I wouldn't pass up the opportunity to represent what I think is true Christian Israel identity philosophy, if I must call it that, religion, beliefs, whatever you want to call it. It's our Weltanschauung is what I'd rather call it, right? The Weltanschauung of the way, maybe. But okay, I think that's about it. If anybody wants to talk, please let me know, and I'll just unmute some microphones. I see Danny is here, and that's good that he's back from California and over his back surgery.
Right.
I'm going to unmute all the Europeans. If any of the Americans want to talk, please let me know, and I'd be glad to unmute your microphones, too.
Yeah.
Hello, Barbarian Man, Sussex Man. Hello to you. Hello, Dorcas.
Hi. I think the Oracle program's a great idea because I listen to a couple of things on Oracle, and they're very good.
Okay, good. I've never heard of them before, to be honest with you, until I looked down Eli's mailing real quick the other day and noticed that he was going to be there. I've been paying more attention to Eli's mailings now than I was when we were working together, which is pretty sad, right? I don't click on the links. I just want to see what he's purveying, that's all. It's the usual culture of fear type stuff that I reject.
Yeah. Always.
Hello, folks. I'm impersonating Danny DeWright, Olam here in sunny Ireland, St. Paddy's Day.
Hello, Olam. That's a surprise, but it's good to see you guys get together.
I've decided to smoke them out, you know, to visit in person, which is
that's good.
Slightly more communicative than on these wretched headphones and mics and things. But there's a lovely hint of spring today, you know.
Yeah.
And, this town in the north of... I've only seen one black face all day, which I'm happy, you know. I think Sussex Man is breathing pretty heavy, you know.
I'm trying to type to him so that it doesn't interfere.
I keep telling
him. It's my computer that's breathing heavy, the cooling fan.
No, it's intermittent.
The fan comes on intermittently.
But you're breathing. We are both asthmatics. We don't realize that we breathe deeper, heavier than most normal people, you know. Fortunately, at my age, my asthma is largely burnt out now, you know, so I...
Okay. Look at you.
And that's Bavaria, man, I hear, yeah.
Yeah, right.
So, whereabouts in Northern Ireland are you?
In Antrim town.
Oh, Antrim.
Near Loch Ney, the biggest inland waterway in the UK, you know.
So you got fine weather there. Can you blow some down to the south coast?
I'm heading down to Belfast shortly, so I'll have to leave you. I'm hoping to pop in to Alan Campbell's meeting in Belfast, and then I'll have to leave early and go for the ferry boat back to Scotland, and then drive to England. So I've a long night of it, but Danny's entertained me here. We've been out for a snack and a pint of Guinness.
You've had a little good lunch.
He's showing me all his identity literature and there's books I haven't seen before. But we're getting to know each other. Yesterday I had lunch with Mike Green. From near Belfast, and again we had a good chat, you know. We discussed some ideas for leaflets, you know, to get printed in bulk and to hand out to people leaving local churches, maybe. He thinks it's a good idea to introduce the message by bringing up some of Christ's teachings, so we can't be accused of being Old Testament Christians, you know. But I'll hand the headset back to Danny here, And I'll listen in for a while, and then I'm off to see Alan Campbell. If any of you have any messages for him, I can pass them on.
Okay. Right. Pass on my regards to him, Alan.
Right. Okay. Right. Sussex man, yeah.
Yeah, tell him I hope his health's improving, and we look forward to seeing him in London one of these days.
Yeah.
Well, you can tell him that he's always welcome to come here, but we probably end up arguing about Beast of the Field. Or about Two Seed Wine. I said you can always tell him that he's welcome to come here, but we'd probably end up arguing about Two Seed Wine or Beast of the Field.
Well, we have to try to tolerate our small number of CI people, friends, because... none of us have got identical patterns of belief, but we're all learning and at various stages, you know. it's an awesome message to take in at once, so if some people are a wee bit behind, we should accept that and tolerate it, you know. We don't agree with everything Alan Campbell says, but, you know, he's been a very... hard-working Christian putting out the identity message for 30, 40 years. He's a bit handicapped with his bad eyesight and the fact that he doesn't use the computer, you know. But he's taught me a lot. And although, you know, there are issues there, but, you know... We're all different. We've all got baggage. We've all got flaws, and we have to try our best to not to fall out, or at least to agree to disagree. You know. I'm undecided about the Genesis story. I just haven't had time to go into it in detail. Certainly what Bill says makes sense, but I'm prepared to accept, you know, slightly different beliefs. You know, none of us were around in those days. We'll soon learn the truth. But yes, we should strive to sort out our doctrine, because as Bill Fink says, BIWF don't seem to have progressed much in 100 years. And I think they're suffering for that. A lot of their doctrine doesn't make sense and is off-putting for younger people. You know, that's why they've got so few young people, because they haven't addressed these big issues, you know, of who the Edomites are and the enemies of Christendom. The first thing you need to know in any battle is who the enemy are, and they're well hidden, they're well disguised, they're an awesome propaganda machine, we can't take them, fight them head on, but at least we can expose them, you know?
No.
Sussex man's having a real hard time today. I'm sorry, Alan.
He's putting tea water on.
I guess. I'm for tea and scones.
This tsunami from the Japanese sea has probably washed up the English Channel and swamped his computer, you know.
Yeah, the best deal is on the sea, that's right.
I saw an awesome YouTube clip with the wave coming up. Los Angeles, you know, under the Golden Gate, but it was down to just about 1 foot high, whereas in Japan it was I believe about 30 feet high when it hit the Japanese coast. So most of its energy had been dispelled coming by the time it reached Los Angeles. You know, did any of you see that clip or
no?
Oh, I didn't. I missed that. Why don't you post us a link?
Yeah.
Yes, some YouTube someone sent me. But I'll hand the mic over to Danny, and I'll probably have to leave about 7 o'clock. You know. Okay.
Oh, it's great talking to you, Alan.
I'll record the I'll download this in the morning when I get home. If I get home, if we're not swamped by a tsunami on the ferry trip back, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, good night.
Good night, Yahweh bless.
Oh, here we go.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, bye-bye.
Hello. Hi there, Danny.
We got all on there, and we were, I'd had lunch and went over to the pub and had a pint of old St. Patrick. I always got to celebrate running the Jews out of Ireland, you know. That's, I mean, the serpent race. The serpent race, yeah. The serpent.
Right, that couldn't have been talking about snakes, right? Well, that was about snakes as much as Genesis 3 was about snakes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But been a good day. Olam, very nice man. So, just happened to pop into town today, so... Caught me at the right time.
How many here are part Irish? A lot.
Icelander, I think you're part Irish. I think you're even part Irish, Icelander. A lot of Irish monks were inhabiting that island before the Danes got there.
Yeah. Well, my mother's maiden name was Murphy, so that was... It was a lot in my family.
My grandmother's maiden name was Cronin.
Oh, yeah. That's a really good name.
Yeah,
oh, she was Irish.
A few professional drinkers in our side of the family, too.
How Irish.
They were, too.
Well, who wrote How Green Was My Valley? That was Cronin, wasn't that?
And yes.
Now, was that about Wales, or was that about Ireland?
No, it was about Wales.
There aren't a whole lot of Cronins here in the States. My grandmother, I lost touch with her family, right? I mean, I met them once when I was a real little kid, but I lost touch with them. She had two sisters and a brother. His name was Danny. Could you guess that?
Yeah.
Danny Cronin. And yes. I haven't seen him since I'm 12 years old, 14 years old, right?
Okay.
I haven't heard old Danny Boy today yet, so that's good.
Well, I almost played it, and I figured if I played that at the start of the program, that people would hate me, and I figured I'd hear it about that one.
Well, you know, I heard that song was about a dog, and then I heard it was about, a man and his son or something going off to war. I don't know. What do you think, Oldham? Is it?
That's what I always thought, that it was about a father and son or two brothers or something that had to part ways.
Yeah. Oldham said it's an emotional song.
But, well, you know, when I was a kid, my father took me to the bar a lot, right? My father was a drinker, and he used to stand around on weekends with a bunch of Irish cops and an Irish mailman, and they'd I could name all their names, right? And they'd sing Irish songs, and they'd sing Danny Boy just about every Saturday, I swear.
Yeah.
It was a ritual.
Yeah.
They'd get drunk and sing songs, and I'm glad I didn't grow up like that.
Well, I can't say that I wasn't blind to that or wasn't kept from that, because on my mother's side, my uncles, you know, they all would sit around we would be back in Ohio in Ohio, and they'd be sitting around, they'd get around the piano, you know, and my Wild Irish Rose and Danny Boy all out, and just go and sing, just like they do here. They just sit in a big group and sing.
Yeah, well, I grew up with all that in the barroom, right?
You have to know the words or have a good voice, as long as you got something you can contribute. So, I don't think I'd be singing tonight.
Did you have Guinness today? Do they still
Pardon
drink
me?
Guinness? Do they still drink Guinness in Ireland?
They still drink Guinness in Ireland? Yeah, they sure do.
I've never had the stuff.
We sure do.
I can't say I've ever drank it.
Yeah, they have
They have Guinness, what they call cold flow. Uh-huh. It's a cold brew that's kept real cold. It's good. It's not bad. I don't know. I only drink it maybe once St. Patrick's Day. That's it. So I'm not a drinker, but on St. Patrick's Day, I will have a pint. And since Oldham came over, it was a big
you
occasion.
You had
too. So we had,
a liquid lunch.
Oldham forced me to have the second one. It was
of course.
It was good. It was a very enjoyable day today. And the sun was out today, too, so.
Oh, that's good.
Very good. So, but I was mentioning Oldham. It was nice. We were sitting in this little cafe down by Loch Ney, this big lake. And I said, what a difference in the all white people here and the difference in being in California. You know, it's a blessing, really, you know, to be around all your own kind of people and everything, so.
Well, I protested mildly, but my mother's upstairs making corned beef and cabbage for dinner. I'll skip on the beer, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think.
And she's not Irish, right? She's British by descent.
Have you ever heard of corned beef and cabbage? Or, and like an Irish dish? I think that's, you know what, Bill, I think that's actually an American.
Well, it might be, but it's you know, all the Irish bars have corned beef and cabbage every St. Patrick's Day.
Corned beef and cabbage. I actually think it's in, I don't know, I hate to say this on St. Patrick's Day, but I mean, I think that's, isn't that an English dish? Or would you? I really think that's an American. I think that's an American Irish dish.
I wouldn't doubt it. I wouldn't doubt it.
Oldham says he's not a foodie, so I don't know. I think that's an American Irish dish. I think that they started that in the States.
Well, I wouldn't doubt it one bit. It's like pizza,
Irish,
right?
And also, let's see, bangers and or what is it? Shepherd's pie, you know?
That's
pie.
Shepherd's pie.
Yeah,
that's
I would say so.
Where you go with
the geese. Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Redhead shepherd's pie.
Oh, okay.
Monday or Tuesday. I think Tuesday was shepherd's pie day. You had cold meat on Monday from the roast on Sunday. Then you had to use all the little bits up in the shepherd's pie.
Mm-hmm. I love the shepherd's pie. That's good stuff. So,
I've never had it.
Shepherd's pie, oh, it's good. And also, tater leek soup.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good stuff, too. So.
I'm not a big fan of potatoes.
No. Oh, they like the potatoes over here. Two or three dishes on a sitting.
Roast and I'm potatoes. Not keen on leeks.
Yeah. Roast potatoes, mashed potatoes. And French fries or chips. I've seen that all served in one,
fries,
one
yeah.
meal.
Wow. Well, yes. I eat very, very few potatoes.
Yep.
And
there's more nutrients. Sorry.
Go ahead, Judith. I like wild rice.
There's more
nutrients
in the potato than in the pasta or anything like that. So.
Well, I like wild rice. That's my favorite. That's what I prefer.
Well, is that the black stuff?
Yes. That's my favorite.
Right. Ah.
I could eat that just about every night.
And how is it cooked, Bill? Is it steamed and then?
Yeah, it's just steamed.
Some other way, or is it just steamed or?
No, you just steam it. Right. You put enough water in it only to so that it absorbs the water.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah, that's my preferred. If I have to eat potatoes, I prefer them baked, right? So that I could eat the skin and usually toss half the potato.
Oh, right.
It probably sounds like sacrilege, but I've never been a potato fan. And I've always refused to eat mashed potatoes. They're just horrible. And I'm not even big on French fries.
No, right. But
well,
I think you've got a really... Yes, go on.
I found the secret for cooking rice. Gene Snyder told me about this, Bill. 2-1. Anytime you cook rice, it's 2-1. For every 1 cup, it's 2 cups of water.
or four cups, 8 cups of water. So, and it works. It's a pretty good formula. 2-1 when cooking rice.
Okay, but I think it might depend on the type of rice, right? Like that minute rice or that Uncle Ben's white rice might take more water, absorb more water than wild rice, I would think.
Mm.
Yeah, it's dependent off. Yeah.
I know. I just remember Gene telling me that a long time ago. I've always cooked my rice like that, 2-1. Smothered in gravy. I don't think they really like rice too much with gravy on it over here, do they, Fulham? It's not a big Irish or British.
Oh, yeah, roast beef with rice and gravy. That's what we had that. My mother made that last week.
I remember they served that in school. That was like the cheap guy stuff. For 5 cents, you can get rice and gravy. That was me. Cheap guy. Cheap rice and gravy. Okay, you guys, you're going to have to know. You got to.
I think most of the English food got left behind here. But most of the Scottish and English food, I think, got left behind, at least in New England. I mean, I don't. All of the English food I hear Dorcas and Judith talk about, we don't eat. A boiled dinner is a pot roast. I mean, it's. But we don't eat English food. I grew up thinking that maybe the English didn't have food.
Right? Oh, I think you've got some spoon tonight.
my mother's and my grandma, they're English. Grant Stevens, Ashworth is my mother's father's name. You don't get much more English than that, but they don't cook. American type food, but all the bangers and all the foods that I hear you talk about, they're not cooked over here. I don't even know the words.
Yeah. So you don't have any bangers at all, any sausages at all?
Bangers and mash.
Yeah,
don't you have them on the barbecue or something like that?
We ate pork sausages when I was a kid before I knew any better, right? I mean, I grew up on pork sausages, but the expressions that English use to describe what they eat, it are all alien to me. It's weird.
Well, we never have sausages in the house, ever. But there are beef ones and chicken sausage and venison sausage and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Oh, venison even.
Yeah, venison makes a good sausage.
Well, venison is mixed with pork because they can't get the venison to bind, so they bind it with pork.
It is alive, yeah.
But the English food used to be so good that you just need plain cooking. That's what we were used to. You just roasted your meat and cooked your vegetables.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Our food was excellent.
Mm-hmm. We used to have the most wonderful cuts of meat. So you're right, because we just had very simple food, but it would be so basically good. You know, a great big shoulder of something, or beef, lamb, or whatever.
Right. So it's probably the everyday food that I eat, the American style of cooking that is English, right? And we just don't see it as English food. You see what I mean?
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
It's faded into the background, sort of, and into the more as a staple than as a cuisine, right?
That's right. And Of course, now we've become more cosmopolitan, so we have pizzas and all those sort of things that my mother would never have known what they were.
Right. Yeah.
I'd hate to think about how much pizza I ate growing up.
And cheesecake and things like that.
Now, rice pudding and cheesecake I had a lot of growing up. There was always rice pudding and tapioca pudding and cheesecake around.
Yeah, that's it. That's English.
Well, I guess we just don't think of our daily the staples in our diet as English food. It's just, we only think of food in terms of French food or Italian food, and then it's the food that we eat every day, right? I'm not a big fan of sausage. We eat some turkey sausage. I of course, I don't eat pork any longer.
Well, here you have to read the label very carefully, because a lot of the skins that the sausage, the chicken or the turkey is,
right,
or even the venison, is pork.
Right.
So you have to look very carefully.
Yeah.
Oh, I do. I drive her crazy.
Yeah.
You tell me if sardines are clean. I mean,
yes, absolutely.
They are.
They have fins and scale. I mean, they're little fish.
Yeah.
I've been, a lot of people say they're not clean.
I'd be shocked if they weren't clean. I really would.
Mm. They have fins and scales, Sylvia.
Well, they do have scales and little fins.
Right, and fins. That's right. But when they are fished in areas where it is unclean, the water is unclean, that makes a difference. That's all.
Yeah, right. They're oily fish related to herrings. They have fins and they have scales. They're clean. If they have fins and scales, they're clean, Betty. That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
Fish that have skin, you know, like catfish and swordfish and mahi-mahi, they don't have scales. They have skin. Shark, and they're unclean.
Skin, that's fine. Yeah, shark.
Yes.
And delphin.
Yeah. Now, I don't know about Britain or Europe, but they've been pushing a lot of Chinese-raised farm fish here that I won't touch, like tilapia. Mm-hmm. And there's three or four varieties of it now, of these Asian fish, and I won't touch them. I don't want any of them. I don't want anything to do with anything raised in China.
Yeah, that is right. Don't touch it.
It's horrible, isn't it, all this farmed fish?
Well, I'm sure there are probably fish farms in America here that have certain standards that are probably all right. Even though I prefer wild fish, of course. You know, the farmed fish in China, I wouldn't trust them for 1 minute what they would feed to those fish.
They were.
But it's the same here because they actually put antibiotics and all sorts of things in the water in the farmed fish to kill fish lice and all sorts of things. So, again, you don't really know what you're eating.
You're a lot better off with fresh fish.
Mm.
Yeah. Provided you like it.
Why? You don't eat fish? Germany doesn't have fish. They don't have fish in Germany.
Well... They just
it's too cold to fish up.
No, there's fish enough for you. But I never liked it.
I just don't. Yeah, you know, when I think of German food, I can't think of fish at all, right? It's my ignorance as an American,
I
guess.
But they do have it. But they do have it. Oh, Clifton is coming in. But they do have it. And Aschermittwoch, it's the day after the carnival. Then they have everybody here fish, and it stinks to fish here. Whoa! That's nothing to me. I'm a beef eater, as I told before, that a beef eater. That's what I speak.
When I go to Germany, my sister-in-law does dumplings, German dumplings, and sauerkraut, and...
Yeah, I think.
But it's quite pleasant to eat, but a bit stuffy.
Do the Germans eat a lot of carp like the Poles do? The Poles eat a lot of carp, and that's looked down. Carp is looked down on here, right?
Oh, carp.
But it's a scavenger.
Yeah, right. That's why it's looked down on here. It's a garbage bottom feeding fish. But I know that Polish people here eat a lot of carp. Especially, it's their main meal on Christmas Eve, the Polish Catholics. Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, that's correct, because they formerly had you, and they still have them, and all these castle houses, etc. They had ponds, a lot of these fish ponds, and they were having carps in it. That is right. I've seen it on TV, and I said, no, okay, it's not my business, I don't like it. But indeed, they're telling it's carp, yeah, that's right, some other fishes as well, but they have plenty of carp in, yeah, that's right. For these Catholics, we're having that as standard food in over the last 200 years, that's right. And once in a year, they have to clean out these ponds, just let the water out, and then they have big basins in which they put the carp and other fishes from the ponds to transport them to the market or to other ponds for safety. That's right. They do that, yeah. That's a very well-known thing. Yeah.
So, Tia, I always thought tuna was unclean. So are you saying that it's clean?
Well, I just looked it up now. I Googled it, and it comes back with that both tuna and sharks have small scales, and they've certainly got fins, tuna.
Yeah, the fins is no problem.
So I don't know. I was just, you know, it was something that went off in my brain as we were talking, because I have enjoyed tuna in the past, fresh, yeah. You know. And so I just looked it up, and it appears that they do have scales.
Uh-huh. Tuna is clean, definitely. It's swordfish that doesn't have scales.
Where? Oh, swordfish, right.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So they must be okay then. I mean, I haven't had tuna for years.
Yeah. Yeah.
It appears so.
I went to Google Translate and tried to translate carp from English to Icelandic for Icelander, and it comes out as carp.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay. Is it menu?
And if I translate it into Polish, it comes out as carp with a K instead of a C.
Yeah.
In Germany, it's Karpfen. Karpfen. K-A-R-P-F-E-N.
Yeah, the Karpfen. Yeah, that's right.
Karpfen. So it's all very similar, isn't it?
Yeah. It's Anglo-Saxon. Yeah, Karpfen. Yeah, that's right. Okay. Mostly where we have a C in English, it's a K in German. Yeah.
In Dutch, it's Karper. Wow, I wish I knew that, because I used to know a guy named Karper. Okay. I would have picked on him unmercifully for that one.
Yeah.
Bottom feeder.
I thought
you already did.
I had a friend that was named Karper. He was a big guy, too. He was about 400 pounds, probably 6'4", 6'5", 400 pounds. Huge guy.
Wow.
Named Karper. And I would have picked on him unmercifully for that. If I knew that Karper, if I'd ever put Karper together with carp, right?
Yeah.
Just never made the simple connection. Bottom feeder. He looked like a bottom feeder. The guy ate everything. Okay. I'm just being honest.
Catfish, pork.
Yeah.
Squirrels.
Yeah.
Anything you can get a hold of to digest.
He was from Ohio. Yeah.
Oh.
Okay.
Why do they have to be from Ohio to be like that?
Yeah.
I knew a guy.
Okay.
I knew a guy that used to eat all kinds of stuff. Squirrels. You know, he ate pork. Well, of course, pork and all that. But he ate all kinds of crazy stuff. Pork, snails.
Brothink would like to say something. It's good. Where's Brothink?
Hello, Mike.
I'm just stopping to say hi to everybody.
Hi. Honk, honk.
I posted your new video today on the front page of Chris DeGenia that not 9/11 solved in 2 minutes, but which is great. If people see that and don't think about the possibilities, then they're just blind. I mean, they're always going to be blind.
It was tough to squeeze. You know.
Mike, you're breaking up. I don't think your air card is. You any service, good service. Mike, I think we lost him.
Uh-oh.
He only has one of those air cards, one of those satellite telephone cards, and they're not good here. They sometimes at night they're good, but there's always problems with them here.
Oh, driving to a better location, yeah.
Oh, he's on the move.
He's actually in a mobile home type, trailer park. He's on the road with his family, but they have a one of those big recreational vehicles or whatever it is. I'm trying to think of a word for it, and I'm being silly. So what else do we have today? I mean, is there anything new on the European front? Any?
Can I just, while Clifton is on, to say that I listened to the broadcast you did last week, and the cannons that the Turks used, they are by the River Thames in the grounds of the Tower of London. There's three there, and they're sort of in sitting position. Massive iron things. So I just thought I'd.
I'm glad for that, Dorcas. That I would love some pictures of them if I could find pictures without watermarks. The only pictures I could find had watermarks on them from some company or not, from Getty Images, I think. But.
Oh.
I thought they were down on that one street called Cannon Street or something, but I didn't want to say anything because I really wasn't sure.
Now, Cannon Street is where all the banks are and the insurance companies. Right. I don't know why they call that Cannon Street. It's where all the bankers are around that area. I don't know whether it's anything to do with actual cannons, but these three...
Who controls those cannons? Who controlled the cannons of the British Empire?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Sussex then knows more about the history of the inner London where all the business is done. I've worked in Cannon Street years ago. It was very easy to get a job just by changing. There were so many jobs you could really improve your position. But today it isn't the same. But they're all Jewish. Merchant banks and what have you.
I'm certain.
Yes. But those descriptions in Revelation, which says they've got long hair, we were always taught in Worldwide that sounded like a helicopter, you know, the whirring sound and that.
Well, that's the futurist view.
Yes.
That's the futurist view. I'm sure you would get just as much of a constant loud ruckus from a picture of 100,000 men on horses advancing, you know, an army advancing towards us. You would probably hear much the same noise. I don't.
Yes.
I've seen men try to with futurist views try to make helicopters out of that, but the depiction is perfect of the Turks who crossed Anatolia and eventually brought down Constantinople.
Yes.
And the time frame is correct.
I think that the evidence is in London. Yes. They just fit the description perfectly.
They fit the description. They fit the time frame. As far as I'm concerned, that year of the dark sun that I had explained with Revelation chapter 6 is an anchor for all of these other descriptions of events in the several chapters before and the several chapters after that it nails the interpretation and the Reformation also nails the interpretation and once you understand those couple of things then everything else just falls right into place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I don't see how there could be any, and futurism is dead. You know, we'd love to see this. People are fascinated by the idea that there's going to be these 7 years of tribulation in the future, and we always had to be on the lookout for them, and that's a false religion.
Mm-hmm.
If you read Matthew chapter 24, Christ said that, you know, they will just like. Before the flood, they were marrying and giving in marriage and eating and drinking. They were having a grand old time. And boom, it was over with. There was the flood.
Yeah.
And he says that's going to be the way the coming of the Son of Man is. The return of his...
Right.
And we can't expect 7 years of tribulation to fit that description. I'm sorry. We've had seven times of tribulation. We've had 2,500 years of tribulation. I'm not saying there's not going to be any tribulation in our future, but this whole idea of a personal antichrist in 7 years of tribulation in the future, it's the lie of futurism. It's the mainstream churches that want to abdicate any responsibility they had for taking part in the deception of the children of Israel that's going on right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're at a part of time now. Who knows when it's going to happen? Anytime could happen today. 5 years from now, I don't know.
Well, exactly. We're in that age, and I plan to continue on demonstrating that when I get to Revelation chapters 14, 15, and 16.
Did you? Yeah.
It's going very, very fast.
Oops, sir.
Well, I thought the program you did with Clifton on Friday evening, just sort of doing a resume and then Clifton bringing in Daniel 2 and going over that and fitting it all together like a jigsaw and getting the right names on everything. You know, I thought it was a good time to do that, to have a sort of recap and look at it all and discuss it. And I just hope you'll be able to do more of that because it's so helpful.
But well, I'll probably invite Clifton on again at the end of my Revelation series. I only plan on 3 or 4 more segments on Revelation, right? I mean, I'm not sure if it's going to be 3 or 4. So far for tomorrow night, I've only prepared my notes for Revelation chapter 14, and I probably will get through 16 tomorrow night is my guess. Right now, the way 15 and 16 looked, they're rather brief chapters. I won't do more than that, even if it's only an hour program. I would rather not offer too much at once to overwhelm people, right? I'd rather give people digestible chunks, so to speak. And I don't want to get into 17 without getting into 18, and I think they have to go together, so... And then 19 might be a program by itself. I'm not sure yet. But I might make Revelation 19 a program by itself. Revelation 19 is the wedding feast of the Lamb, and I want people to really understand what the impact of that, what the meaning of that is. Because the wedding feast of the Lamb, if you take a good look at it, it's the destruction of all of the enemies of God.
Yeah. Yep. Big feast of the flesh, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It's all allegorical, but that's what it is. So I'll probably bring in a lot of scripture from Ezekiel 38 and elsewhere to drive that home.
Very interesting. Well, it's a privilege, really. To have to understand what he's telling us.
Well, right, it is, but it's a denial of scripture to imagine that we at this time of our peril, we are confronted with all of these beasts that the houses of Israel and Judah are sown with, and imagine that everything's going to be hunky dory at the end, and they're just going to be given bus tickets home. That's a denial of scripture. Because the scripture clearly says that they're all going to be destroyed, that Yahweh is going to cleanse Israel and remove all these people from our midst. When the angel of death passed over and destroyed the firstborn of Egypt, it didn't take them and relocate them somewhere. It killed them. It destroyed them.
Yeah.
It didn't put them on ferry boats down the Nile.
For the crocodile. Yeah.
And some people want to soft soak the scripture and make everybody feel warm and fuzzy about it. And that's just a lie, and you're deceiving yourself if you think that.
That is true.
Yeah.
And I'm going to drive that point home when I discuss Revelation 19.
And isn't it funny that these people are all coming into the white countries, all these different races in the white countries, not coming in Japan or China or India, all white countries.
Right.
Just like that Barbara Spector said, that from that Presida organization up there in Sweden, said that the European monolithic culture is going to be done away with. It's going to be multicultural for it to survive. It has to be done for it to survive. Right there. The exposure. Mm. Who's doing it? Should they admit it? They're going to do it, and they say they're going to do it. So I think that video there has to be spread and shown to everybody. All white Europeans, white Americans, everybody should see that video.
Well, just this evening, I got from the television, and I checked it and saw it, and I said, yeah, there you are again. It was the same problem. Here they are now going to open the door
for many many people have been given rooms free and places free for to pick up and to give a new shelter for many of these Japanese who have lost all their houses now. And then I'm thinking, yeah, what are you doing? It's understandable that they like to escape for the time being the country. You never know what that atomic stuff is going to do. But you're relocating these people to a totally different type of world. The food supply is completely different here than it is in Japan. What are you doing? You have to help these people. Where? Not here. Except for the background that they might be outradiated. This is another point of view. But we are getting, again, a load of foreigners in the country. This will be a serious problem in a very short time. I don't believe it's right what they're going to do, but okay. Emotionally, the people are going to give themselves free for entering these people in the country. Whoa, that will be a big problem. Okay. It is so. We'll wait and see, please. Yeah. It's not a good thing. Yeah.
What about the Battle of Armageddon? Would that be the climax of...
It's been going on. It's been happening. It's been happening. It's been happening for 100 years now.
Wow.
We are in the battle. Yeah. And it's getting more severe and severe. It's going faster and faster as ever before. Because the time has to be foreshortened. You can't foreshorten the time and run out for everybody the time. For that doesn't fit together. Only if you are foreshortening the happenings, it has to go all in a lot faster time. That's what we see. It's running like crazy. A week is over before you know it. This is exactly what's happening right now. So Yvette is indeed foreshortening the time right now. Greg told about it, and indeed he is correct. That's what you see right now. That's the experience we all have. I'm glad that my grandfathers don't live anymore, that they could see this time. They wouldn't survive. It would go far too fast for them. It was impossible, but we have to go through it. Well, we'll make it in the end. But we have to be very careful for what is happening now and not losing your head. They even are going now so far where they were vehemently against over the last years, and real debates about it, stopping the nuclear reactors here in Germany. They didn't do it. They gave the permission to go on. And all of a sudden now, here in Germany, they're switching off one of them, two of them. They're going to switch off. And certainly for seven of them in Germany are to be switched off for at least 3 or 4 months, for safety checkings, etc. And all the other machines, 17 we do have to be controlled after all this horror. So we have big stuff here.
Well, you know, if there's a military invasion, that's fine, and the scripture doesn't exclude it, and Ezekiel 38 often makes it, you know, when we read it, it seems like that's what it's talking about. But we've already been invaded. The enemy is everywhere amongst us. Hordes of Gog and Magog are all over the place amongst us. Look at London. I mean, look at some of those videos on YouTube, and I don't know how you could see that it's not an invasion. The invasion has already happened, and a formal, uniform military invasion isn't necessary. They're already all here. I mean, I've been to Chinatown in New York City. I used to be there once a week, and I'd stand on the corner in Chinatown during the day, and looking at the people in the streets, it's like a swarm of roaches. It's like looking at a giant anthill full of Chinese people. It's incredible. They're all here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And in New Jersey, when I was a youth, I'd say before 1980 even, and I was 20 years old by then, it was very rare to see a Chinaman in New Jersey. There were a couple of businesses, Chinese restaurants, Chinese laundries, things like that. And when I was a child in Hudson County, the county where I grew up, but by 1990, Hudson County, and especially Bergen County to the north, which was a much wealthier county with much higher real estate prices, were swarming with Orientals. And they are. It's I'm sure it's worse now. And Bayonne, the little town I was in, it's not a little town, it's a city of 80,000 people, right? But it's little because it's stuck in between New York City and Newark and Jersey City, so it's little. And that town had one Chinese restaurant when I was 16, and it had about three dozen storefront Chinese restaurants by the time I went to prison at 36. And they were all over the place. They just spread out from Chinatown. And it's that invasion of Gog and the land of Magog, well, I see that as the Edomite Jews who swarmed into America in the 1880s and have been here in ever-increasing numbers and have been the catalyst. They have been the political catalyst for all of these subsequent invasions of aliens. Immigration, they call it, right? It's an invasion of aliens. The Mexicans and the China, right. And they are all among the enemies of Christ, as far as my interpretation of the scripture goes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, according to somebody, the word come up against means a covert, undercover.
Well, right, undercover of a cloud, exactly. They came in. Yeah, you know, we think they're coming in as peaceful immigrants, and that's just a deceit. It's a cover of deceit. I read that allegorically.
And they've already taken the great spoil. All our industry's gone east.
Absolutely. The spoil's already done. All our manufacturing, all our industry, much of our wealth, it's already gone. They've already consumed it. So I don't see the necessity for a military invasion. I mean, I'm not saying it's not going to happen. I'm no prophet. And the prophecy isn't there so that we can tell the future. It's there so that we can look at the past and know that God is true, as I've explained several times. But the military invasion sure as hell isn't necessary. They already own us. They already hold all our debt instruments, right? They already own us.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're going to want to collect on that, too. So, I think it's going to be a three-prong or four-prong. They're going to come from the east, west, north, south, everything. Just one shot. Just like they did in 9/11. The Jews kept that a secret, and I think they're going to do the same thing with this invasion.
Well, Christ said that when the...
But the military invasion, I believe, is going to come. It's going to hit.
Well, Christ said, remember the fig tree. I'm sure he meant the fig tree that was withered, right? When Christ said, remember the fig tree, I'm sure he was referring to the fig tree that the apostles saw him make to be withered, right? When it shoots forth its branches, know that summer is nigh. Well, the fig tree being the Edomite Jew, I don't see how his branches could get much further shot forth, right? Summer has to be nigh. The harvest has to be close.
Yes.
They don't need to invade because they control our military.
But, well, right. I mean, China's even making all the parts for our planes.
They're busy at the moment substituting aliens, in the army, increasing the ethnicity of the army and the police.
Yeah.
Because they know our own people... Most of them, anyway, wouldn't shoot on their own people, but the aliens, they wouldn't think twice about it.
Well, one thing I believe sincerely from reading Ezekiel, and I'll be bringing it up when I cover Revelation 19, is that our people have to know that we are in trouble as a race, and we have to understand that the only place we have to turn is to our God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's the state we have to be in. Before we have any relief, I believe that from reading Ezekiel, it's very clear in his prophecy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
The people have to realize that we're in a lot of trouble. Another thing too, though I believe that there'll be an invasion, is because America is so heavily armed. Unless they're going to pass legislation or do something to try to disarm America. There's a lot of armed people between Los Angeles and New York. And there's a lot of disgruntled very upset, angry white men and women out there that have guns. They know this.
Well, right, but those guns, I mean, guns are nice to defend your home, but they're not going to do us any good defending our government, especially when our government's been infiltrated and the government is the problem, not the...
Mm-hmm. And we're going to have to realize that that is the problem. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting.
Hello, Otilia.
Battling in the streets. And my own personal opinion is I think we'll be battling in the streets when Christ returns.
But, well, it seems to me that the Matthew 24 indicates that we'll just, most of our people will just be having a good old time.
Party.
Yeah.
Like St. Patrick's Day parties. Yeah.
Otilia is telling us that Spain's being overrun again, the new Moorish invasion, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, probably. A lot of Libyans coming into Spain. That's right. Yeah, who knows? Yeah. Yeah. Not so. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, it's a strange world. You can expect anything, but it is really going faster and faster, and the more strange things are going to happen. So I'll just wait for it. What is going to happen? Every day is a new interesting experience. Yeah.
It's a great time to be alive, I think. To be alive on Earth.
Yeah.
I hope Yahweh keeps me here. I want to see it all.
Yeah.
Well, we must have been chosen to be alive at this time.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. You must have strong nerves. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, like Olam and I were talking today about how some people can understand this message and some people don't. And no matter what you could tell people, they just don't see or don't understand.
It's not their time, is it?
Not their time. And
not their time, that's right. They might miss the boat.
Oh, but we have to imagine that time is coming and we have to be prepared for it.
Yeah.
I see it. I'm clear as the day to me. I don't know. I remember at one time that, of course, when I was younger, it just seemed like that wasn't really that important. As long as the blacks and stuff didn't move in your neighborhood, you were all right.
Yeah.
But that never came to the point where why do they move into your neighborhood?
Yeah, that's it.
You know, why all of a sudden these people start showing up? And we're getting a lot of Indians and Muslim type of people here. Since I've got back from having this surgery in the last month, there's a lot of them, Tesco's, you know, and Asda. That's where you see. You always check the schools and you always check the grocery markets.
Yeah.
People moving in. That's where you always see them.
Yeah.
And we're getting a lot of new faces, a lot of brown faces over here. I was pointing out to all of them that you know that they're coming, they're pouring in here now, and it's amazing. They're just coming from everywhere.
Yeah.
Not as bad as, you know, I mean, we were having lunch today, pretty much white when we were having lunch, but, you know, you do see the new faces coming in. Now they have a little area over here where most of, like, these Indians and stuff were all moving into. It was an area where a lot of the soldiers were housed, and they moved those soldiers out, and now they're moving all these Indians and stuff in this area.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that they let them move in with the troubles that they had over here. That I thought that, you know, just wait till these people try to move in. They'll be firebombed out, but not in this town.
Oh, our people are asleep. They're too asleep to even be offended anymore. I think it's incredible. They're effeminized and basically far too docile, and it's probably the chemical and food assault that's been orchestrated against us by these global corporations. The soybean and all the unnatural foods that we've been filled with, high fructose corn syrup, and people just swill that garbage down.
And the smoke and the smoke and the chemicals that's coming down from the sky.
That's one of
nice,
the worst things.
Clear here. Day today, and about 1 o'clock, here they come spraying, you know, back and forth.
Even in Northern Ireland.
It's fluoride in the water.
Even in Northern Ireland, I'll tell you what. When we were flying over to the States in February, there. What was it, February 6th, I think it was. I remember we got up in the, I don't know, it was about 32,000, 33,000 feet. We were over Scotland, and there was a chemtrail there that just went on for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles. That I was filming it and from our window, and it just was so long that I just couldn't, I ran out of, my arm got tired of holding the camera up. Hold on. All right.
To get him to a gym. No, I'm kidding.
Here. Jesus.
Clifton, you're unmuted. If you have anything to say, feel free.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
I don't really have anything special to say. You were talking about the... fish, you know, which fish you're supposed to eat, which you're not, and you're supposed to eat fish that are covered entirely scales.
Fins and scales.
Now, the reason the scale is there, stop the parasite from penetrating the body of the fish.
Uh-huh.
Now, on tuna, they only have about 10% of the body covered with scales.
Uh-huh.
So if you like to have a tuna fish sandwich, use salmon instead. It'll taste just as good.
Right, but so tuna is not to be eaten then?
Well, some say that white tuna is all right and yellow tuna is bad, but I've got some fish books here that shows which ones, you know, that have the scales or not.
Yes.
They're pretty good pictures, and even the albacore tuna don't have enough scales to keep the parasite out.
Where does it say in the Hebrew that they have to be covered entirely with scales? Because I never heard that. I didn't know that. I've been eating tuna all my life.
Hey.
Well, I was in a bookstore, and they had a big, I mean, it was a huge book, you know, about 15 inches by about 12, and it's fairly thick, and they got a lot of nice color pictures in it, and they explained that in there.
No, I mean, where is it explained in the scripture that they have to be covered entirely in scales?
Well, this book explained how the, if the scales aren't there, it's not going to keep those parasites out.
But, well, I mean, when I read the scripture, it tells me that the fish have to have fins and scales.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? It doesn't tell me that the fish has to be covered with scales from...
If part of the body is not covered with scales, parasites are going to get in.
Well, right, but that's not what the scripture says, right? I'm playing devil's advocate, but I want to know.
I'm not saying what the scripture says here. Telling you what I discovered in my research on.
I understand, but as far as the scripture is concerned, it says that the fish has to have fins and scales.
But there's different types of scales. I think.
I don't know. I want to know. I'm just being curious. If the fish has scales, then I'm going to look at it as scriptural, unless the scripture indicated otherwise and I missed something. That's the point that I'm going from. I mean, I'm not debating what Clifton's saying at all.
I'm not debating
concerning this technology, concerning the science behind the scales.
The science behind
the Bible is saying scales, but it means then all over the body. And if it is half, then it's not to be used by the Bible.
Well, right, but that's what I'm trying to say. The Bible, I don't think, distinguishes, unless I'm wrong. I'm not going to claim to know everything, but the Bible, I don't think, makes a distinguishment, or maybe it does, and I don't know.
Well, if half the body is skin and the parasites can get in, that's not for me. I'm going to stick with the cod, I'm going to stick with salmon, and I'm going to stick with haddock. That's it.
But my point is that the Bible says it's a fish is clean if it has scales.
Fins and scales.
Oh, well, right.
Scales, yeah.
Does it have to have fins all over its body, too?
Yeah. It's very...
Maybe the fish you like doesn't have enough fins.
Yeah, you know, and I used to fish a lot for yellowfin and bluefin tuna, too. And albacore.
Yeah.
Well, my point is that if it has scales, I'm going to imagine that it's clean. I mean, I might be wrong, but I'm going to... It seems to me that the Scripture is instructing me that it's clean.
Right.
I don't think the Scripture is telling me that it has to have a certain number of scales. I mean, I'm not saying that we have to eat it anyway, but you know, we don't... You know, if the Scripture says something's clean and we never eat it, well, we're not sinning, are we? Because we never ate a steak.
Yeah, you know, tuna's a predatory fish, too. They eat other fish, and... So it's not
like I know that tuna was a very common fish in the Mediterranean, right? It really was.
Certainly. Yeah.
And the Greeks ate it all the time.
Yellowfin tuna, bluefin tuna?
I don't know what variety. I just know they were very common in the Mediterranean, and the Greeks ate them all the time. Yeah. So that's why I don't... The Bible says fins and scales, and... I don't think it distinguishes with how many fins and how many scales. That's why I was asking Clifton. I mean...
Right.
I understand where he's coming from with the parasite thing, but I also just take the Scripture for its plain meaning. Of course, I wouldn't want to advocate us eating anything that's what we can demonstrate to be harmful either, right? But we shouldn't tempt God either.
Well,
all I know is I've known more people to get sick after eating tuna fish and fish casseroles.
Right.
I don't know why they get sick from it, but they do.
I love the feedback.
Well, when I was in prison, I lived on peanut butter and tuna fish because the prison sure as hell didn't feed me. And that was really all I had except candy and other kinds of garbage.
What about flies? Has that got the scales?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch the type of fish that you were talking about, Betty.
Clay sack flatfish.
I don't know anything about that type of fish.
Place, yeah.
Never heard of it.
Place is bottom. It's a bottom feeder, and it doesn't have scales.
Right. Is that a bottom feeder?
I thought it was.
I don't really know. I'll have to brush up on this.
Yeah, that is the school. In Dutch, they call it the school. It's a flatfish.
And that's what
it has. It has scales. They're using them very often and they're still eating it. But it is in America, I know from the information from there, advised not to eat it too much because most of these fishes are living there where the streaming water is, which comes from the rivers. And the dirt from the rivers makes them sick, and you're getting a lot of poison in them. And we have that in Europe, in the North Sea. It's quite well known that these fishes are filled with unwanted things. Mercury can be found in it, etc. So we're advised not to eat it, or not too much, at least. Yeah.
Now, Danny's talking about cod, and I know that cod could get worms.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. You could actually cut open some cod and see the worms in it. They don't all have worms, but they're very susceptible to them.
I don't know. Never seen that. Not yet. But, I remember fishing for... I was up in Alaska in the mid-90s. And we fished for, salmon, king salmon, and haddock, or halibut. And halibut was a solid skin fish.
The halibut,
I remember having seeing, like, little lesions and stuff all over them. These little, they look like little snails and stuff all over them. It was, the meat, the flesh was real flaky, and it looks great and everything, but it was skin. And that was it for Attican, or halibut.
Halibut.
No more halibut.
More halibut.
Halibut, yeah. Yeah, that's right. But even if you have a cod from the North Sea, you can get the same sort of cod from the Baltic. And you're going to eat that. Oh, magnificently pleasant. Friends of mine, he did it. He said, what the heck is this? What kind of fish is that? I don't want to have it anymore. And he went to the fish dealer and he said, oh, I did give you the wrong fish. That one came from the Baltic. He said, never again. He said, I don't want to sell them again. It's horrible fish. It seems to be that there is a real difference. In spite of the fact the Baltic is salty, but it seems not to be that salty as what we are used to have. Yeah.
Sounds to me like you got to go to the fish market with a biology book.
Yes, yes, yes. It's
For today's times, you would almost do. One of my friends who is living in the Netherlands, he's unfortunately not capable of saying it in English, but he would be a good one because he comes from the fisherman's area and he knows all about fishes and he likes it very much, but he can't translate it for you in English. It's the pity. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting about the fins and scales.
Yeah, that's...
Or the scales, that's...
It shouldn't be a problem, but today's times, with all these types of fishes who are swimming in the dirt, we have to be careful. Yeah.
Well, I gave up eating shark a long time ago because that what comes around goes around. So I gave up eating shark.
It's Leviticus 11:9-10. It says, These shall ye eat of all that are in the waters. Whatsoever has fins and scales in the waters, in the seas, and in the rivers, them ye shall eat. Yeah. And all that has not fins and scales in the seas and in the rivers, of all that move in the waters, and of every living thing which is in the waters, they shall be an abomination to you. I don't see how we could take a fish that has half scales or half of its body is scaled and call it an abomination if it has scales. That's they might be susceptible to parasites, but I wouldn't consider tuna unclean. That may be unsafe, but not unclean.
This is almost like a discussion that the rabbis have over how far you're supposed to travel on the...
But if it has scales, it's good. If it don't have scales, it's not good. I mean, that's pretty plain. But I mean, of course, with the pollution and the things that we have today, if it's, I don't know if you want to eat a lot of tuna just because of the amount of mercury it has in it, right?
Yeah.
I love fish.
I wonder if the peanut butter and the tuna sandwich is not coming into the equation.
I can't split that hair. I mean, if it has scales, it has scales. If it don't, it don't.
Right.
As far as the scripture is concerned, now as far as common practice in life is concerned, no one. I wouldn't want to eat the amount of tuna that I did, and that's because I know that it's heavy with mercury, and I probably could have done without it, right? But when you're in prison and there's nothing to eat, and the only thing that's of any resemblance to anything healthy is tuna, you're going to eat it. That's the way it is.
You got to eat it to keep strong.
Well, how about the question coming from China today? They're raising the fish in cesspools.
Right, Clifton. You know, we were talking about that just before you got here. I was talking about how I wouldn't eat any fish that was raised on a farm in China. No way. And they push it here, too. They push it heavy here. That tilapia and certain other types of fish that are raised over there, there's no way I would eat it.
And they raise it in what? What did you say, Clifton? They raise it in what?
Cesspools.
Yeah, well. Jeez. It's in China, isn't it?
Well, you know, the city sewer disposal.
Yes.
Jeez.
And they feed them all kinds of garbage just to get them big. They don't care what they feed them. They're selling it over here. They don't care. They don't care how they feed themselves. They eat dog. They eat anything that moves. I wouldn't trust them to make my food for me. No way.
Oh, jeez.
I wouldn't trust them to feed my fish either. Who knows what they're feeding those fish in those conditions over there.
And they're selling, I see they sell chicken and all kinds of meat in the stores over in the States. People actually buying chickens that were grown and, were slaughtered and all that in China. People are buying the Chinese stuff. It's like, all they got to do is put a little bit of bacteria in some of those chickens and that's it. I just wouldn't trust it. I don't even trust buying anything from over here in Africa or anything like that.
Well, the Chinese baby food contained melamine, didn't it? And so did the dog food. And a lot of dogs in America died as a result of the melamine in the dog food.
Right. They have no care at all for how they make a profit. They only care about making a profit. They're worse than Jews.
Communists. I mean, they don't. It's your enemy with sickness. Well, we listen to Yahweh, stay with our own people, and come out from amongst them and be separate. We won't have this trouble.
Right.
That's all it is to it. Stay away from them, let them do their thing.
Oh, we try to.
Yeah, that's true. You try to stay away from them, and the next thing you know, they're trying to move in next door to you. You come 6,000 miles to try to get away from it, and they're still trying to move in next to you. And then you're the bad person because you don't go along with it. Yeah.
Oh, the poor soul. He's dripping any time.
And, funny is you watch these Jews over there in Israel, they just batter down someone's house. They don't care. They just take it. They do whatever they want. Walk around their guns, shoot anybody they want. They just go and do anything they want. But if you raise any kind of alarm over here, right away, you're the bad person. But it just gets me. Like Christ said,
there's something. Why the nuclear stuff happened to them? Yeah, there's something to say about. I just found a game which has happened. There are some photographs seen on the net which you can see for yourself in case of. There were some Japanese who photographed very strange cloud formations the day and the days before the earthquake happened. And extremely abnormal cloud formations. And I have seen that from the Chinese as well. And I think in IT they had the same thing. And this is also happening, a very clear indication that they have been playing again with harp. And some people refuse to accept it, that harp is capable of creating these earthquakes, etc. But I'm definitely sure they are behind all this. But it's to me too strange that again this was happening on the 11th. And if it is again happening on the 11th, it stinks to Illuminati. You can't escape this. And I agree with these Japanese. What did these crazy cloud formations do? When you see cloud formations strange and abnormal to nature, you better be careful. Something is going to happen in your days. It's awful, but it is happening today, Simon. So that was for Otia.
Right. Thank you.
I don't. You know, we had earthquakes. We had horrible earthquakes and horrible volcanoes and tragedies for thousands of years before HARP, right?
Yeah. That's right. But not these peculiar cloud formations. They are abnormal. Totally abnormal. If you see that, you say, this can't be done by nature. This is not normal. And I have to warn for it. Just watch it. I didn't expect it to see it, but in the gate, they came up with it. They said, hey, there you are. That's not too bad. It's happening. So you have to verify it all what's happening. And it's not strange because Christ said that there will great catastrophes come. But it doesn't say that he is making these catastrophes. The human being is capable of making it. He didn't say that, but it is capable. It's possible.
Well, you know what? I don't think we should care about the catastrophes because there's no love in fear. And even the enemies of God only have the power over us that that God wishes them to have over us. As Christ himself said to Pilate, right?
Yeah. But some people are saying, yeah, this is only owned by nature. No, this is man-made fingers in. I'm certainly sure.
Well, I would just have to have some pretty convincing proof, right? And it would have to be more than just a cloud before I...
Yeah, well, we are just combining what it is. I have seen also a twister on the ocean in the east. And the twister was coming down to the ocean. It should normally suck up the ocean water. But instead of that, you could see a huge amount of hell-reflecting light coming from the ocean surface. And a few hours after, they found the dead animals, the dead fishes and the dead dolphins, etc., and they were roasted in the water. It's impossible. That's not normal. That was high-frequency stuff which came in down there. And even the twister by itself was very peculiar and not a normal twister. It's sad, but it is so.
That's asking about E.T. Tennyson. Is that pertinent? I mean, I don't know.
E.T. Tennyson?
Who's E.T. Tennyson?
Yeah.
That's why I'm asking. I thought maybe one of you would know.
Oh, there it is. Oh, Matt. Yeah, the other Matt. Yeah.
I don't recognize the reference.
Tennyson. No, I don't know. Oh, he will give an explanation for that. Oh, yeah, that's what Atiyah is writing. Yeah, it's bad and sad enough. Yeah. Teaching kids what's going to happen and all these nasty things of homosexuality. Blah.
Yes, they are.
Yeah. But it is so, yeah.
So you mean see as normal, good is bad, woe to them who consider good evil and evil good. I mean, we're warned about it.
Right.
Oh, Jesus. That's
they're all going to get theirs.
Yeah, it's in the middle of the pit of hell what we are doing now. Yeah, upside down, that's what these moral values are. Yeah. Or completely lost.
Right.
Oh, what I saw, one of my chaps in the Netherlands, he sent it. A girl who went in a dressing to the carnival festivities. Yeah, okay. She only wore a catsuit and gymnastic shoes. That's all. I couldn't believe it. Four, five photographs were shown, and the last photograph, the police was there. Said finally. Yeah.
That's horrible.
Yeah.
It's that's what the Jewish television has taught your children. I mean.
Yeah. And they're going lower and lower and lower. It's beyond belief. That's the normal, the moral value. Yeah.
Well, Wiebe wrote about it. Goebbels wrote about it. That's what they're like. That's what they tried to do in Weimar Germany.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's not a new game. It's the same old game that they've been trying to do it for hundreds of years. Totally debauch Christian society. They're just about there.
Yeah. A repetition of the history. Yeah. The usual thing.
Yeah. Yeah, there's nothing new under the sun.
That's getting worse and worse by the hour. Yeah.
History tells us. You read history and the same thing repeats over and over.
Yeah.
Same people are behind it. The same war started in heaven here on earth. Yeah. Same coming to a climax.
I have to go to the airport to and fro. I wonder what I'm going to see. Mostly, you're really astonished when you're seeing that. What kind of people are going around there? It's amazing. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We have to pass. It's a hard way, but we have to pass. Yeah.
Well, Europe is mostly nuclear power plants, isn't it? Don't you get like 75 to 90% of your power from nuclear power plants in Europe?
Yeah. Here in Germany, we have 50%. 50% from the power plant, from the nuclear plants. Yeah, that's 50%. And the rest is from windmills and waterfalls, hydro energy, and, of course, from the solar panels. That works fine. So my roof is covered with solar panels. And many of the houses here in the villages, they all have these panels in today's times. But the government has been promoting it.
All there are some solar panels here, but I mean some houses, but not many.
Oh. Well, they have been promoting it here, fortunately.
We've got the solar panels, we just don't have any sun.
Okay, we have a bit more sun, that's right. But even by a grey cloudy day, it still works. It just gives energy.
Well, I can see the register inside my garage, and I can assure you, when it's a cloudy day, very little electricity is made.
Yeah, if it's too grey, then it's just giving a few hundred watts, and that's all. But in the main figure, still coming as a ground grey day, it can come up to about a kilowatt. Still a kilowatt. Goes into the net.
Or it'll boil a kettle.
You can boil a kettle on. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Well, that's the most important thing to an Englishman, right, is his tea. So as long as you can boil a kettle, you're doing all right.
Sure.
Well, they have, over here, what I found out, they have they call it tea, but tea is like a supper or like dinner. When they say tea, they're also talking about having dinner.
Yeah, or you could take a high tea.
Am I right, dear?
High tea.
Yeah, I think it used to be that way. Yes, yeah.
High tea. It's an afternoon.
Right, then you get all kind of lovely things to eat. You can get it in the Netherlands.
But
they have special restaurants. Yeah.
Yeah, I've always heard them say, like, or I got to get home and make tea. And I thought, geez, get home and make just a pot of tea. Tea was as dinner. It's two different meetings, but a lot of Americans don't know that.
I think that's how it used to be, but I think now we tend to say dinner.
Is that right? Yeah.
Yeah. I think so. And but it is a bit confusing because in the north of England, dinner was always what you had at lunchtime.
Yeah,
is that right? Okay.
Yeah. So
you know, that's how my grandmother was too. Maybe her ancestors came from the north of England. I don't know.
Right. Yeah.
Is it so high? Is so when they say high tea, they're talking about.
That's a what? Napkin and the cakes and a pot of tea.
Right,
I prefer.
Okay, and that is
and possibly sandwiches even, but it is tea. It's not a dinner.
Okay, and that is about what time?
4 o'clock.
4 o'clock, right?
Okay. Right, 4 o'clock. That's tea. Yeah, that's right.
And then.
Then you would have dinner after that.
Or dinner will be the when?
Well, I would guess about 7.
7, right. See, we have ours about 6:30.
Why does it all have to be so regimented? I have dinner when I'm hungry.
I have dinner when I feel like cooking it.
Right.
Well, I don't know. Yeah. Still got little ones and stuff and... I don't know. That's the way it was at our house. At our house, it was usually 6 o'clock, 6:30. That was it. And somebody, it was funny, too, because we would be sitting at our table, and if someone came to the door, which we were in the dining room there, you know, was pretty close, you know, my dad would say, come on in, sit down and eat or leave.
Yeah.
Either come in. This is a sacred, holy thing, eating. My dad would say.
Yeah.
So you either come in, sit down, or leave and come back later.
Yeah. And then it's empty.
There was always an extra plate.
Okay.
Well, Tilly is typing. I wish we could get her to talk.
What's that?
I said, oh, Tilly is typing, and I wish we could get her to talk.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, she did talk the last time.
Yeah,
what,
yeah.
What's happened?
Oh, maybe she got shy.
Microphone. Mrs. Tom.
No, no.
She's giving to a rooflets.
Right. Otilia, when you're inside of Jewish influence, you don't see how they influence the people outside of it, right? That's what we don't understand about Middle East affairs, is that the Jews are over there with their fingers in the governments and the mechanizations of all the nations around them, trying to control them all. And the people revolt to that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Certain. Yeah, that could also be Libyan burn. That's going to burn up? I don't know what's going to happen then.
And the view of salvation, that typical mainstream view of salvation, Otilia, is confused. It's not the scripture that's confused. To be saved in scripture can mean two different things, and you have to read the context. Sometimes it refers to the salvation of the soul. All souls will be saved. Every spirit will live to see judgment seat of Christ. But often it talks about being saved in the scriptures, talking about being preserved in this physical world, but which is the goal of us all, so that things could be on earth as they are in heaven, so that we could see the kingdom of God on earth. That's the goal that we should all have, right? I'll answer your thread, I hope, over the weekend. I bookmarked it.
Bill, on a similar theme, when scripture talks about having an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ or not having one, I was thinking of Ephesians where it says for know that no whoremonger or unclean person or etc. Or will have, or an idolater will have an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God.
Well, right, and what Paul is trying to say is that, you know, we have people that are doing this here in this life, and Paul says that some of his, yeah, you know, some of the people that he wrote to had been some of those things. And what he's really trying to teach is that since all of those things aren't going to be in the kingdom of God, why are you doing them now? Put them aside. If you really want to seek the kingdom of God, you have to put all those things aside because they're not going to be to exist there. And Christians should seek to live by the law now. That's yet, you know, the law. We're not going to be judged by the law, being of the children of Israel. However, we should establish the law, as Paul says. Because we're Christians, we should seek to live by his laws. But once we find out what our inheritance is, we should be more than happy to embrace it.
But for those who don't know amongst our people and who are still doing that sort of thing when Yahshua returns, they will still be part of the kingdom, will they?
Well, you know, Paul says of sinners to destroy the body so that the soul can live in the day of Christ, so that the spirit can live in the day of Christ. And that's the difference in where the Bible has always translated that word saved. It often means to be preserved, here.
Yes.
And if we are living a good life and seeking the kingdom of God and seeking to establish it, the Christian promises that we will have a full, long life here.
Right.
Yeah. For a long life here as well. Yeah.
Honor thy father and thy mother is the first commandment with the promise, right? That because it promises us that we'll have a full long life here. And if we really honor our father, well, who's our ultimate father, right? You can't honor your parents and dishonor your God. It's the two things don't go together, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I decided to talk. I was wondering if a person who, in the last day, let's say, if a person who never, all his life, didn't respect God's commandment is equal to a person who all his life respected God's commandment. I mean, they have the same right, even though they weren't equal.
Well, right. There's a lot of things at play here, okay? That there's a lot of different things at play, and we don't think like God thinks, right? And we have to imagine what the scripture says, and Christ said to him who was given most, much will be expected, and to him who was given little, little will be expected. We're not judged based on the things that we do in this life. We're judged based on the things that we do in this life with what we are given. Some of us are given great gifts and all the knowledge in the world and don't do anything with it. And some of us are given nothing and do well as individuals. You see what I mean? And those people that are given nothing and do well as individuals, they'll be a lot better off in the judgment than the people who have been given the world, all the education and all the books and all the money and did nothing with it. Those people, that they may have...
But if everyone would be saved, all the souls would be saved.
Well, it says all Israel will be saved, right? It says all of the children of Israel will be saved.
Of the judgment to judge them if anyway they will be saved.
Well, the judgment is occurring as we proceed. And I'll be discussing that tomorrow night. Well, we're at the day of judgment.
Yeah, you're in judgment.
On a national level. We're not at the judgment on a personal level. On a national level, as a people, we're at that day of judgment. We've been being judged for 150 years now. I'm going to explain that tomorrow night. That's why Revelation 14 says the great day of judgment has come. It's been going on.
You'll have judgment tomorrow morning.
Even though, let's say, the judgment happens, our people don't seem to wake up. I mean, many European countries are like atheists, and I mean, Denmark, I think it's just awful. I read an article about, awful people using drugs, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I wonder when will people wake up? When, how much suffering they need to get and wake up?
That's a question that we all have. I'm confronted with that question all the time. In America, the same problem. I mean, they're all strung out on drugs. That they all, none of them care.
Well, yeah, but there's their daily routine. Their routine is not interrupted. Everything is fine. You go down, you can get food at the market, like I said before. Until their routine is interfered with, you know, until, like, say, food shortages or money shortage or gasoline shortage, you know, then people will start doing something. Everything is hunky-dory. It's like when a person loses his job.
In other words, there's no such thing as suffering as long as there's football, beer.
As long as you can still go down and, you know, and get your beer and watch your football games.
They don't see their depraved state as suffering. And a lot of people that aren't Christians are still good Christians, whether they know it or not. But there's a lot of people that aren't Christians at all with their lips, but they're the best people in the world. And don't you think that those people are going to be judged by their actions, whether or not, and not by their words? Words don't mean anything. They have to have works, right? I mean, faith without works is dead. A lot of great, great people have good works, and they don't profess Christ. That they don't even know they're Christians, but they do right by their brethren. That they do well for everybody they can. Yeah, you know, for everybody who crosses their path, and they've lived good Christian lives. There's a lot of people that think they're atheists or think they're agnostics that are actually damn good Christians. And there's a lot of damn good Christians that are just, that belong with the godless, right? And Christ tells us that. Your actions do speak a lot louder than your words. But to fix society, most of us, we're all helpless. I mean, it's going to stay that way.
What about the Christian Zionists? They are helping the enemies of God. I really cannot understand this thing, because in my idea, the Bible, the whole Bible is about us, and it's about how by following God's law we can be saved. And I don't know, I have grown up with this thing that some of us will not make it. And not with God's rules, signified like you will not make it. But
some of us won't make it to the end in this life, but we'll all be there at the end in the new world.
on this planet, you mean?
Right. We don't belong to ourselves. We were bought for a price. Do you think that God could actually lose any of his people? In the end?
Well,
at the resurrection, we'll all be there. At the resurrection? A lot of us are going to be there and not like where we're at, but we'll all be there.
Well, we have to live to see it. The best way of knowing it is to live it.
Right.
Then we'll be sure what will happen.
But our goal is the here and now and establishing God's kingdom on earth and hoping for that day when it's manifest is more like it. And for that, we want to be preserved here. And to be preserved here, we have to seek his kingdom and his word and follow his word.
Sure.
And the Christian promises that we'll be preserved here if we so do that. And see our children and our grandchildren
if who follows God's word would be here, those who didn't, they will always be here, like in the judgment day. I don't know.
Well, they'll live in the judgment, but you know what, your reward in the next life is what you built while you were here, right? And some people built hay and wood and stubble. And other people built silver and gold, and that's the way it is. We through good works, we store up treasure in heaven. If we have no good works, when we get there, we're going to be ashamed of ourselves. But we should just seek to do good and care about preservation in this life. Because your soul, your spirit will definitely be in the next. Because God can't lose those who are his.
Nope. Amen.
I thought it was just funny because in the church, you know, they scare you with the hell and all that stuff. So
well, right.
When I was little, I believed in that. But then when I grew up, I was thinking, would God allow that much suffering? And I don't know.
But well, the truth is that yes, he would. But the suffering isn't his fault, it's ours. And if we would obey his laws, we would have no suffering on earth, right? That's right from the beginning. If there was no rebellion against God, there would be no suffering on earth. That's simple.
Yeah, and then when you break his laws, you suffer.
The Israelites are known for their rebellion against God. They in the Bible, they all the time they were like going away from God and then praying for him to forgive them.
And all those drug infested pagan and atheist people you see on the streets of Europe, that's them. That's their descendants. They're still like that.
Yeah, and what surprised me was that during the Bible and even now, God never led them without a prophet. God, like, never ever led them without someone telling them the truth.
But you know, Paul says in the opening to Hebrews that at diverse times, I'm going to go read the opening to Hebrews because I don't want to screw it up, right? I'll just screw it up. In times past, he spoke to us through the prophets, and today he speaks to us through the sons. On many occasions and in many ways in past times, Yahweh had spoken through the fathers by the prophets, Hebrews 1:1. At the end of these days, he speaks to us by a son, whom he has appointed heir of all things. And in other words, it's the gospel that speaks to us, right? That's our prophet today. If people can't obey the gospel, understand who their brother is, understand who the antichrists are, then they're going to stay lost. Now, I understand that Judeo-Christians have that very problem. They don't know who their brother is. They don't know who the antichrists are. And they end up, like you said, Christian Zionists. They basically worship the devil. They're the real devil worshippers.
Yeah, actually, yeah.
And that falls in place with Revelation 17:17. And it's been going on for 100 years, 120 years maybe.
Mm-hmm.
That because of our sin, Yahweh would send upon us a spirit of deception, and we would all be deceived and give our kingdom over to the beast. That's exactly what we've done. And that's why the Jews are in charge.
Yes, exactly. Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
If you don't think the beasts are in charge, just look at who's the president of the United States.
And we earned that, Otilia. We earned it because, and I'm going to get into this tomorrow night, with the French Revolution and the unleashing of Satan from the pit to go out and deceive the nations, our people seeking after mammon were very susceptible to the false idols, the false gods that the Jews set up throughout Europe and America in the 19th and 20th centuries. Because we followed the Jewish idols, the Canaanite idols, the gods of mammon, well now we're in the position that we're in. And the Jews have come to rule over us because 200 years ago, they became our high priests. But we followed them. I'm encapsulating 200 years of history in a couple of statements. But if you follow my the programs I did with Brian on Sunday night through the revolutions of Europe and the secret societies and all that material, read Nesta Webster, World History, maybe you could start to understand exactly what kind of profound effect the emancipation of the Jews in the French Revolution had on Europe and on our culture. Because that's when
I have little time. I have hard time studying Spanish, and then next I have to study a bit of German. So, but yeah, I'm trying my best to study.
Yeah, it takes time. You do. But we'll talk more about it.
Sure.
Well, I have a question. Does God talk with people, with us? Could he talk to dreams?
You know something? A lot of people want to imagine that they're spoken to by God through dreams. A lot of those dreams come from our own fears and our own imaginations. The guiding principle in our lives has to be the scripture. If we have a personal revelation that doesn't agree with the scripture, then we're kidding ourselves. And there are a lot of people who have advertised and written books that they spoke to God and God told them this and God told them that, and they put that above the scripture, and they're basically preaching a different gospel, that they're deceiving themselves. And I'm not saying that Revelation...
Yeah, I know some of those books I've heard about.
Right, and I'm not saying that Revelation can't come to people, but... If it's not in line with the scripture, then there's a problem.
Well, when I was little, like 12 years old, I did have a dream like that. It was quite strange. I can tell it was, if you want.
Go ahead.
Yeah, well, it was... I don't know if it was true or not, but I was like... In my old house, outside, I was looking for a friend. I was desperately looking for a friend. Well, I was grown up. Well, you know, even though I was 12 years old when I was dreaming, in the dream I was a bit older. So there was a war. I could see flame on the horizon. My house was partially destroyed. And then, like in a cloud, God sending in colors, many colors and grays. God called me by my name and told me, Otilia, I'm God. And he said something like, go in front and save. And then I had the image of a big tree, like a huge tree that I couldn't see the end of the tree. And I cannot remember much. I just remember this part. And then I woke up. And I know he talked to me a lot, but I couldn't remember anything. And when I woke up, I remember that I couldn't realize where I am for some seconds. I completely lost consciousness. I don't know what happened, but then I gradually could take control over my senses. And I forgot about the dream, but I could remember it later in life. I don't know if it was just a dream, but it was really... It was really real. It was very real when I dreamed.
Well, that's understandable, and that might have some personal significance for you, even that you haven't realized yet, but all of these people that write books about conversations with God and go out and teach about how great interracial marriage and equality are and all of these vile, vile doctrines of Satan in the name of God. I'm very skeptical about all those people, right?
Hmm.
Well, that wasn't a conversation. He just gave me, like, saying to me things and giving me instruction. I didn't remember saying anything.
Well, maybe you'll remember the crucial time in your life. And
anyway, I remember just those words. I don't remember anything else. I don't know.
Maybe you'll remember that a crucial time in your life, and it'll give you encouragement, or you'll be able to derive some meaning or instruction from it.
Yeah,
maybe. I don't know.
By time it will come up.
But we all have an urge.
It was a terrible war. I know that. I remember that.
But we all have a very strong urge to know the unknown and to have it revealed to us. And the best way to do that, I think, is through reading the scripture and being persistent in understanding, seeking to understand the scripture and in prayer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I saw, I don't know if I said this before, but I saw a video on YouTube about some Swedish girls, I think, and they were all funny and laughing and everything, and a guy asked them, do you think in God? Oh, no, believe in God. No, we don't believe in God. And then the interviewer asked, do you read the Bible? Oh, what's that? I never heard of that. And that was just unbelievable.
But well, right, there's been a total apostasy.
Yeah, that's what it is, apostasy, yeah.
And they were smiling, happy, goofing around.
Yep, because all they think of is sex and what kind of guy they're going to end up with.
Yeah.
And the media in our countries have all the power right now to make the trends, produce opinions, make the people think. The Jews can make the people think the way they want.
Yeah.
What the trends are going to be socially, what you're supposed to accept, and things like that. And they brag about it, that they control our people like this, and they do. Christianity is one thing that they put out now that people laugh about. If you say if you're a Christian, whatever, and they make it on TV and through these programs and everything, that this is that you're a jerk, you're an absolute idiot.
Well, I have an email the other day, and I have to check this quote out, the veracity of it, right? But it's supposedly from an Edward Bernays, who was a Jew, who was the nephew of Sigmund Freud, and he wrote a book entitled Propaganda in 1928. And here's what he supposedly said in the book. The conscious and intelligent manipulation of the organized habits and opinions of the masses is an important element in democratic society. Those who manipulate this unseen mechanism of society constitute an invisible government, which is the true ruling power over our government. We are governed, our minds are molded, our tastes are formed, our ideas suggested, largely by men we have never heard of. This is the logical result of the way in which our democratic society is organized. And that's, if he said that, that's pretty damn good, because it's 1928. He doesn't really understand the mass media yet, but the media still, by that time, had a lot of power through the radio and through the print media. And he's a Jew, basically, confessing, right? He's confessing that they know what the media and the takeover of the Western media has done for them.
Well,
you have the hearts and souls of those who you get to watch your television show. There's no doubt. And your 6 o'clock news and read your New York Times or whatever newspaper is.
And it goes back to... Go back to the turn of the 21st or 20th century. I have a quote here by an Israel Cohen called A Racial Program for the 20th Century. And says here that we must realize that our party's most powerful weapon is racial tensions. By propounding into the consciousness of the dark races that for centuries they have been oppressed by whites, we can mold them to the program of the Communist Party. In America, we will aim for a subtle victory. While inflaming the Negro minority against the whites, we will endeavor to instill in the whites a guilt complex for the exploitation of the Negroes.
Well, right. He wrote that before 1920, and by 1960 it was accomplished.
Walk of life in the professions. Yeah, in the world of sports, entertainment, with the prestige, the Negro will be able to intermarry with whites and begin a process which will deliver America into our cause. Israel Cohen, Racial Program for the 20th Century, 1912.
Gee, there were. Yep.
There it was.
And he was a, he was one of the three, Israel Cohen and Israel Zangwill, along with George Bernard Shaw and several other leading figures from that period. They were all Fabian socialists.
Yeah.
Right.
And Fabian socialism was the program that they used to the vehicle they used to progress that subtle victory that he spoke about, right? It's one of the vehicles that they used. The other one was the Frankfurt School, and there were a few other things that were big in social impact here. But.
And also in the protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion, they... Yep.
Well, the protocols is the blueprint, right? And all these other things are vehicles for filling out the plan, right? For carrying out the plan.
Exactly. But
it's not the Masonic lodges that are responsible for distributing this plan throughout Jewish society as much as it is synagogues, right? I mean, that's how all these revolutions spread so quickly through Europe. They didn't spread through the Masonic lodges. They spread through the synagogues, and from the synagogues, they were transmitted into the Masonic lodges.
Mm-hmm, right.
Okay.
Infiltrated into everything. Through the media control. And nowadays, the one thing that is in our favor is of course, the truth, but we do have the Internet. And that's a thorn in their side.
Oh, it absolutely is. They didn't expect this. They were broadsided. They really didn't expect the success of alternative media on the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Chris DeGhenny is hanging in there. I mean, we've been teetering on the top 100,000 sites in the world. It's sometimes it's 97, sometimes it's 101, 102. But it's been doing pretty good, I think. It's been very consistent.
Congratulations, I see you're over 100,000.
Huh.
100,000 hits, that's great.
Yeah, for 2 years. I think it ain't bad.
A thing I noticed about Christian Identity that it's mostly open to those who know English. If you don't know English, you really cannot access neither shows, neither articles, and I think a way to know more about Christian Identity would be everyone to who is from Europe to translate, but that's a very hard job.
Well, let me give you some
the easiest way will be for all people to know English.
I'm going to give you some motivation, though, Tilia, right? I mean, I'm going to put a link in the chat in a second. I have to go to my Islamification of France video to get this link. If you go to this link, you'll see, and I just put this up, right? I just received these documents last week, and I put them all up on my Saxon Messenger site. What you'll see is 25 of my best papers have been translated into French, along with, I consider 25 of the papers among my most important, and also a half dozen or so papers from other people were translated into French by a native Belgian over the past year, and I posted them on the Saxon Messenger site this week, just the other day, March 12th. And 13th. And I don't know, that might give some of you other people some encouragement. I just can't do German and Spanish and all those other... I just don't do it.
Yeah.
But I would encourage anybody who wants to translate any of my papers or Clifton's papers to go for it, and we'll post it. I mean, if you're translating a paper and you need help with the meaning, we could talk and work it out, but I can't... I do Greek, right? I do Koine Greek, and that's about my limitation. Yo hablo español poquito. Yo estudio español en la escuela para dos años, but it's been a long time, and I wouldn't try translating it, right?
Christian identity seems a bit close to European people because many don't know English. In Spain, young people don't learn anything. And it's very important so that someone would translate. Yeah. I would try my best.
Well, Romanian even. I mean, I don't know. The people, I'm surprised at the number of Europeans I meet that speak English. All the British people speak English. Nah, I'm kidding. That's really a silly joke. Now, Icelander speaks good English. He doesn't like to speak here, but he speaks English. Man of Dan isn't here right now, but he's quite often here, and he speaks good English. Right. And Barr, he's on the Christogenia Forum, B-A-H-R. He's the gentleman that translated all these papers into French, and he speaks good English. I mean, there are quite a few. I mean, I'll tell you what, that there's more Europeans that speak good English than there are Americans that speak a European language.
There's that two-seed line. Which you've got in German, that's also in Spanish.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, if the two-seed line, if somebody would send it to me, I'd post it, right? I mean, I post these things as I find them and get the time. But the other the German language papers. I wish I had more of my Christogenia essays in German. I mean, there's a couple of people here that read and write English in German. I could drop some hints, but I won't.
I could translate into Romanian.
I'm just trying to be not too subtle.
But how many?
So whereabouts in Romania do you come from, or were you?
Could you repeat?
Yes. Whereabouts did you live in Romania? I've been in Romania several times, mainly in Brasov and Sinaia.
Okay, I write the name of the town because it's hard to pronounce for me.
Don't forget, now I went to school in California, so printed out good.
Well, why don't you pronounce it for us?
Suceava.
Suceava. Okay,
that's in northern Romania.
Yeah, I've been in northern Romania, mainly the south and east, and in central Romania, Brasov.
I was saying that in Romania, most of the people believe in God and it's not like the east is not like the west from my point of view. They believe more in God, I think.
Well, those people have suffered, too, a great deal more than the people in the West, right?
Well, in the East, they're more aware of who the Jews are.
Well, right, they're a lot more aware of who the Jews are, and I think that they've suffered a great deal under the Jewish dominion.
Yeah, during communism was a bit harsh, but... at least during communism, they wouldn't be stressed, like, tomorrow you lose your job, tomorrow you don't have where to live. In communism, you had everything on a plate, let's say. It was, even though you couldn't be rich, you had a job, you had a place to stay. From that point of view, it was good, but from the other point of view, you had no freedom of speech.
That's true.
Well, we haven't got much freedom of speech in this country now, at least in the UK.
Anymore. That's the same here in today's times. And the cyber corps are listening in.
Yeah. In Rosenheim, aren't they? Did you say?
Yeah.
And also, there's a bit on the internet in Dutch, for anybody who knows Dutch. There are quite a few items in Dutch. Also in Danish, there's a Danish site. And also, there's some in Sweden, for anybody who knows Swedish.
We just saw that they are so low in today's times, these Swedes.
Yeah.
Oh, Ice is a dropper tonight. Poor soul.
So you're off to Holland, are you?
Yeah. I'm Saturday afternoon. At 12:30, I'll be landing in the Netherlands. That's right. Yeah, and I'll be back on Wednesday. Yeah.
Wednesday, right?
Yeah, that means by Wednesday I have a pile up of emails again in my box. Oh yeah, okay, I'll have to suffer that. But okay, that belongs to it. Yeah, it's a sad thing that I have to go for funeral to the Netherlands, but we can't change that. Huh? Yeah. Okay, we will see where it will be. Sad, but it's a part of life. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's good to go and give support to the bereaved, I think.
Yeah, that's right. But if it is one of your best friends in the world, then it's an extra difficult story. That's right. Yeah. So he didn't expect that I was coming to the Netherlands. He said, "Nah, for this case, I have to come, whatever happens." Yeah. His wife. I know her all too well. Okay, that's what it is. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Part of life. We have to do it.
That's it.
I'm going to say goodnight to everybody.
Yeah! Okay.
Okay, Dorcas, thanks for coming.
Yes.
Very nice. Hey, Yahweh bless you.
Yeah, thank you.
All blessing.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Michael from the Ukraine, I'm missing.
Yeah.
If it's getting close to spring there, then he's probably pretty busy.
He told me he started planting.
Yes.
Okay.
And he sold off a lot of his land because he thinks the prices are going up so high people won't be able to afford food. So he's just keeping his home farm, and I think he's looking to invest his money elsewhere, perhaps a farm in Scotland or USA.
Okay. Yeah, is that wise in today's times?
I don't know. Nowhere's better than the other, I don't think.
Yeah, that's right. I don't know what's happening there at the Krim. That's right. Yeah.
Did you hear about the revolution in England the other day?
Revolution in England? About what?
Well, it was a minor revolution. Well, it was. It was a case against somebody not paying their council tax, which they proved was unlawful. And they went to the court. There was lots of people there. And the judge refused to allow certain evidence. And he asked to see his oath of office, and he refused. He asked him three times. So the people in the court arrested the judge.
Ah!
And the common law, but he only lasted time till all the police moved in. But the case is still ongoing because they're going to complain about the police because they acted unlawfully.
Yeah.
But arrest the police too.
Yeah.
And then there's a big demonstration on Trafalgar Square on Saturday, April the 26th, March the 26th, against the census form. Lots of people have been shredding them and sending them back, or shredded up.
The people are going on the move.
Yeah.
It's time to do so.
So they're gradually losing control.
Right. It's chaos. 11.
Yeah.
Happening?
Oh, that didn't work too good.
And then there was a street in, I'm not sure where it was. It was in Birmingham, I think it was. And the banks had foreclosed on a couple of properties in the street, and all the people sort of crowded in, and the police went on the retreat.
Oh?
Because they tried to enter, seize the properties back on behalf of the bank, but they didn't succeed.
Oh, sure.
But you don't see it in the press, that sort of thing. The mainstream press.
Yeah. That is right. That is right. They take it away. They don't want to have it in any way. Yeah, that is certainly so. Yeah, strange times. It's happening all in today's times, and we can expect much more. And I hope that we will be able to, in the end, that we have our conference. It could be that it's not possible. It's going so fast, strange in today's times, that every day is a surprise.
Yeah.
You may expect all kind of horrors and chaos. It's really running through like crazy, like absurd. It should not be that way, so.
Yeah. Well, that's, again,
I'm more and more amazed about it.
Well, the scriptures say they won't know from whence their trouble cometh. It'd be a lot of holes in the dike, you know. It's not one thing they can go and blot it out. It'd be lots of little things all over the place.
Right, right. Yeah, it's then happening all at the same time. That it's really done. There's no oversight anymore. Yeah, that's as well. We may expect it all. That's why I say it's going so fast that I don't believe in 5 years' time anymore. Within 2 years or whatsoever, that's more likely. But it's shortened. It's foreshortened. It's going so quick. It's compressed together now. That's why you have the repetition rate is so fast that you get chaos. Oh, yeah, you can see it. Yeah. That we can expect now all. It's a pity that it is so. But okay, we have to expect it. It is the end time. Yeah. And we're rushing through it.
I was wondering if this all this conflict in Libya and Middle East are not made on purpose so that there will be lots of refugees to come in Europe. Because I was listening in the news one day, and there was a discussion in the European, I don't know, parliament, or I don't know, if Europe is saying that Europe has always been a place of refuge, and that we should all welcome the refugees from all these third world countries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. But to me,
I think you're right.
The media wants
this. Being orchestrated.
That's a good point, yeah. It's a good excuse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good excuse.
For it all to happen at the same time.
Yeah, and Egypt also.
I think somehow the trouble down in Libya and those places are probably Israeli operatives down there working, stirring up the trouble.
Sure.
Oh, we know they don't like Gaddafi.
That's true.
So they're trying to.
But even our own security forces made a botched up landing there.
Does Libya have a central bank yet?
No.
Well, there you go.
Exactly.
Yeah. But to have us get involved in something down in Libya is just comical.
It is, and then, of course, the price of fuel goes through the ceiling, doesn't it, here?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. If the British Army wanted to be shooting at Muslims, they should be doing it in London.
Yeah.
Did I say that?
Yeah, no need to travel.
Yeah, it's in the central there. Yeah.
Did you see the difference between how the Japanese people reacted at the earthquake and how the Haitian people reacted?
Yes.
I mean, in Haiti, there was, like, rape, murdering some Negroes with knives, and everyone, like a complete jungle. And in Japan, all waiting for food, you know, making,
and standing in queues.
Yeah.
Are you talking about Detroit, Los Angeles? Where is it? Oh, Haiti.
Yeah.
I Since you brought that up, Attila, I remember a couple weeks ago seeing, oh, this is well before, the earthquake. But this was right after the flooding, the floods in Australia. And they showed there was a black guy, and he was all upset because he didn't get enough aid and help. And he's sitting on, you know, all this rubble and everything. And then they switch over and show these Australian people with their axes and cutting the trees down and cleaning up everything removing all the, you know, all the trees that are in the way and trying to clean things up. And this guy, he's just sitting there asking, how come anybody ain't going to help him?
Yeah.
Well, you know, like in a circus, the monkey will always wait for a banana, bread, something to steal, something
get off
to
your back end and go to work.
Yeah.
Rebuild it.
Yeah. Put your fingers out of your sleeves.
That's right. Put your back into it. Get to work.
Yeah.
That's the way you got to do it.
Yeah. That's the famous problem. Some races don't like to work. They want to save what it is, but work? That's a dirty word.
Well, just like I was in that earthquake in California in 1994, as soon as within a half hour, all the stores and everything were looted of everything.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, and they don't have that type of problem in Japan, but that's what happens in our countries.
Yeah, that is so. That is so.
Looted so fast, you just couldn't believe it, how fast the stores were looted in the area. Everything was gone. Broken gangs broke in and stole all the stuff.
Yeah.
I saw a list of natural disasters that happened over time, and most of them happened like in China, in Japan, in Chile, but not in Europe. Very few happened in Europe. And I was thinking that our land, Europe, and probably America, is quite protected from natural disasters. Because there were like a bit of flooding, but just a bit, and famine, plague, but not earthquakes or tsunami or many other things that happened to other people.
Well, there was a huge earthquake in Lisbon in the 1500s, right? In Lisbon, Portugal.
Yeah, like compared to the other places of the earth, Europe seems more protected.
Yeah, right. We get very few compared to Asia, it seems. The ancient Greeks, that they wrote all the time about cities dropping into the Mediterranean because of an earthquake. That there were many instances of that in ancient Greek history.
Right.
And of course the volcanoes like Pompeii, what was and Mount Etna can go at any time. it's already leaked lava a few times in recent years, right?
Mm-hmm.
We don't want Yellowstone to erupt.
Hey, Yellowstone's another problem, or a potential problem. I wish it would erupt and just land on San Francisco, to be honest with you.
No, Los Angeles.
Yeah, either one would be good.
Just hit the Hollywood Beverly Hills area. That's all.
That'd work.
Yeah, yeah. What?
And looking at all this why celebrities, the fact they are Jews and they pass as white, and the world sees all these movies with no morals, and they think, oh, this white people, which in fact are Jews who try to make the white race seem like perverted, and they do succeed, make it like that.
Yes, they do, because most people, even most white people, perceive Jews as being white. It's crazy. The average American in the street, when you point to a Jew and try to tell him he's not white, they'll think you're crazy.
I was surprised to find out that most of the so-known celebrities are part Jewish.
Yes.
It's just unbelievable.
Yeah, well, they favor each other. They do that naturally. We don't do it naturally. That's our fault.
Yeah.
We don't love our brother and go out of our way to do well by our racial kinsmen. The Jews, that they're like a club. That's the real good old boys network.
Was it Gerald who's... Sorry.
Yeah, Gerald likes to research all those Hollywood clowns and yeah. figure out who's who.
I was amazed, though, that the number, you know, who were actually Jewish actors.
Well, right. A lot of them are, like yeah. people you would never expect, like Scarlett Johansson. Oh, she's so pretty. Well, yeah, sure. And she's about one-fourth
yeah.
Jewish.
Yeah.
And they go out of their way to favor each other while they tell us that we shouldn't favor ourselves. Yeah. And we believe that garbage.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not only that they are Jewish actors, they really expose that in movies. They make movies and where they put like subtle things about Jews, about their culture, about how great they are and stuff like that. And white people just don't seem to realize that.
They worship them. That they worship the Jews.
Yeah.
They're God's people. They can't do anything wrong. No matter how much sin the Jews commit, that they can't take any criticism for it. It's evil if you talk bad about the children of Abraham. That's the mentality that these deceived Judeo-Christians have. They don't realize those promises are really for them. But those promises are really for the European peoples. They're not for the Jews. The Jews are really the enemies of God. And they prove it all the time. And if white people would only open up their New Testament and believe what they read, they wouldn't have any of these problems with the Jews. Because they wouldn't even give the Jews the time of day, which is what the Bible tells us. I mean, it's right in the epistles of John. I have it on the front page of Christogenia. I'm going to wait for it to come around before I quote it. Each who going forth and not abiding in the teaching of Christ has not God. He abiding in the teaching, he also has the Father and the Son. This is important because John's talking about the Jews that denied Christ. If one comes to you and does not bear this teaching, meaning the teaching of Christ, do not receive him into the house and do not speak to welcome him. For he speaking to welcome him takes a share in his evil works. Right there, that should tell you the Christians cannot embrace the Jews. It's real simple. Just believe what the New Testament tells you. And reject the Antichrist. Reject the people that deny Christ. Don't even speak to welcome them. Well, we do trade with them. We give them everything we have through usury and other vehicles that they've used to pillage us. We shouldn't even be buying a rag from them.
Yeah. If you can.
The Jews actually know what they're doing because there are all sorts of movies where there is like an epidemic that spreads all over the world and people seem like zombies or asleep or somehow ill. And there is just a few who know the truth and who are like awake and they know that, but we are the only one who still don't wake up to that reality.
Yeah.
Like some people are suffering, asleep, a deep sleep, and they make movies about that,
yes,
showing
they do.
That.
Right. That is so, yeah.
And that's happening. People are sleeping and they are sick and seem not to wake up.
Unfortunately, yeah.
Well, I think that the peoples of Eastern Europe are a much more aware of Jewish treachery than the rest of the world is, right? That's my opinion, and it's easier for them to be aware of it because they've suffered a lot more greatly through it on account of it.
Yeah, they should know, but a lot of them don't understand it.
And Americans still think that they don't understand the way the Jew has manipulated the media and the political situation here.
Right.
It's not so evident. And 100 years ago in Eastern Europe, it was totally evident. You know, there was a big backlash against the Jews in Romania and Hungary and other Eastern European nations before World War II. And I really think that all those nations were probably handed over to the Russians because the Jews wanted to punish them and subject them under communism.
Yeah.
I really believe
that. That is quite probable, yeah.
Well, it is a part in Romanian history where
They would give Transylvania to Romania, I think, or something would recognize Romania as an independent state if only the Romanians would recognize Jews as Romanians and give them passports and everything.
Right.
Because and they didn't have rights. They did, until then, they didn't have those rights.
Hmm.
Of course, there are lots of gypsies in Romania. And they're the ones who come over to the West, and people in the West, I think they're the true Romanians.
Well, right, I did. I'm being honest with you. I met so many gypsies in my life that said they were Romanians. We just take it for granted that that's what Romanians are. Of course, Otilia took us to task on that a few weeks ago, but that's good. I'm glad she did.
Well, it's a pain because... Gypsy seems like a pest. All over the world you go, there is a Jew and a gypsy.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's why some people call them gypsies. It's a convenient term for them.
Yeah.
But here it's quite confusing because they're called Roma.
Right.
That's made on purpose, I think. That's made on purpose, so that they would confuse Romanian with gypsies,
they're Romans,
but they call themselves gypsies. They don't call themselves Roma.
Yeah.
In America, they move into a town, and the first thing the women set up are fortune telling operations, palm reading, and things like that. And then the first thing the men set up are identity theft and credit card theft operations. And that's all they do. They scam. Mm-hmm. They never work. They live from scam to scam. And I've seen that since I was a kid. I saw that. But all these older women going to these gypsies' houses to get their palms read and their pocketbooks looted.
Yeah.
They are experts in this stuff.
That's right.
And the gypsies love to decorate their house in red and with a lot of brass and very shiny objects.
Yeah.
Like the Indians, too. From
right. But with a lot of bright red.
It's clear that they are related.
Yeah, you would say so, yeah.
Well, I think that the gypsies are probably...
told me that during the communist period, a lot of the Romanians were turned out of their houses, or either they had the gypsies put in, or they were only allowed one room, and the gypsies had the rest of the rooms.
Wow. Okay. All right. That could be. Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't heard of that.
In Bucharest, I got a friend who was in Bucharest, and he's a professor at Bucharest University, Jutescu, I think his name is. He teaches English in the Bucharest University. He told me about that. And some of these gypsies have the Romanians' nice big houses, and he's a qualified man, and he has to live in a tiny flat.
Yeah, imagine. Yeah.
There are problems in Bucharest. There are many there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's all not too well.
I'll tell you something funny. In the communism, they tried to dictator tried to insert them into the Romanian culture, into the Romanian people, and built them houses, built them like a neighborhood, and installed them there and everything. And after some months, he came to see how they were doing. And they put their animals in the houses, and they would stay outside in a tent. This is how they were integrated.
Yeah, that is right. Yeah, the
they don't know another way of living than in the tent.
Yeah. That they used to live in their mobile home. The tent. Yeah.
No.
And he sounds like he has his hands filled with children over there.
Yeah.
They just invaded me here.
Well, that should be the least of all our problems, right? I mean,
I know.
It's a good
there's
problem.
Nothing more precious.
They just can't understand why Pop can't play with them, you know?
Yeah.
But they come in sections, you know, they invade and then.
Yeah.
And then they leave. Sorry about that, you guys.
All right.
No problem.
It's just Thursdays, you know. Thursdays, they.
Oh, yeah.
That's babysitting days, so.
It's not a problem at all.
You see the mic muted and everything.
It's okay. That's kids are great.
Yeah.
Nothing more precious than the sound of a white child, a happy white child.
Yep.
Yeah.
We have. We found out a couple weeks ago we got a new one coming in, a new grandson. Well, it could be a grandson, but another grandbaby coming. That's what life is all about.
I often regret not giving my parents more grandkids, right? I mean, that's there's nothing better than that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you never told that when you're younger. You never realize it, I should say, until you get a little older, and it's like, yeah, that's what life is about.
No doubt.
And that's the reason why we have to do what we have to do and spread the truth, because we do have to do it for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Knowing this truth and not saying anything about it to anybody, that's not doing anybody any good.
Well, that's burying your pearl. I mean, that's taking your talent and burying it in the ground. There's no doubt in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
That's the worst thing that you could do is to learn this and conceal it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Olam and I are talking about that today. How, again, you know, the media and everything, and how they work on people and try to brainwash you into thinking how they want you to think and act. And anytime that you're a racialist, that's all wrong.
Yeah.
Oh, when racism is love.
You're the racist. They're actually the racist.
Yes, they are. Racism is love. Don't let anybody talk you out of that.
Yeah.
I was wondering when the kingdom will come, because I think in 100 years' time there will be no white men left.
Well, right, Otilia, that's what we all wonder, right? But we're never going to know until it gets here. Yeah. And that's part of the test of our faith.
You got to remember, too, it started out with just two people.
Yeah. Last remnant was eight.
They still couldn't defeat us.
Yeah.
Last remnant was eight people. We're told that, we're given these promises in Daniel that the kingdom will not be handed over to other people.
That's right.
The way I've tried to explain the revelation, if we see the so many centuries of prophecy told in advance come true, we have to imagine that the rest of it's going to come true. But we can't imagine that 80% of the revelation is going to be fulfilled and the other 20% is going to be forgotten.
Yeah.
I mean, things look bleak, but, you know, knowing this truth is spreading, and people are waking up, I believe.
No matter how much people suffer, they don't wake up. They need to suffer more. They need to be I don't know, to be more immigration, to be more disasters. So there has to be something big to wake them up, because I don't see any way that they could wake up.
I agree.
I can guarantee you any of those white people that are living in Los Angeles in these areas, they're waking up.
The more our people live with these other races and their numbers grow and ours diminish and they get bolder and bolder and bolder against us, they'll finally start to realize what the hell they're about and how much they've been deceived. Because these other races, I don't care if it's Orientals, Chinese, Japanese, if it's black, if it's Mexican, it don't matter. They hate us. And they, when they get the upper hand against us, we will see their desires and the true ideas in their hearts come out. That there is no doubt. and I've been around them in situations where I've been outnumbered 100 to 1, and I know exactly how they get. But when there's more of us, when there's less of us and more of them, they really do hate us.
Turn on you just like that. Even if they say you're friends and all that, they turn on you just like that.
Yeah.
Now, the Japanese, we might look at Japan and say, oh, they were so civilized during the earthquake. And they were. They treat each other well. But that's not how they would treat us if they felt that they could have an upper hand as a race. In fact, the Japanese, if you pay close attention, are highly racist. And that's the way we should be. If we were as racist as the Japanese were, none of these other races would exist today.
Mm.
And we'd have the kingdom of heaven, and we'd have no threats.
Well, you don't see these other races being shoved down the Japanese throats and brought over to Japan.
No, and the Japanese oppressed the Koreans. They oppressed the Koreans over there for hundreds of years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, they're racist against the Koreans. They're very close to them racially, and they've been heavily racist against them, right? Uh-huh. And they've treated the Koreans like... worse than, or just as bad as the Jim Crow laws in the South, you know, segregated the Negroes, they treated the Koreans.
Yeah.
And you don't see any Jewish criticism of them in public for that, and they still discriminate against Koreans.
Mm-hmm.
Koreans.
Many non-white races, pardon. I was trying to say that the white man is portrayed like an evil one, suppressing and enslaving all the other races, and that's why they feel like they hate us, because that's the image they have about us, that we are some suppressors, evil.
Well, right, because they're the qualities that the Jewish media invokes and plays on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because that's what the media portrays the white man as.
If there is in a room a white, the Chinese, and the black will attack the white, surely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was just giving an opinion.
Yeah, well, it's like the Mexicans, they absolutely hate the Spanish culture. Although, you know, they were elevated a little bit when the Spaniards went to Mexico and everything, but they absolutely hate the Spanish, you know.
Mm.
And you can't call them the Spanish Mexican either. They don't like that either.
No, you got problems.
When I was in Spain.
Yeah.
Well, when they conquered Mexico and South America, the mistake of the Spanish people were to interracial marry with the inhabitants there, because they went there alone. The men went alone, and well, they needed to marry.
Well, right, but also large numbers of Jews went to South America with the conquistadors. Yes. Very long, and I'm sure that they were all agitating for that equality and mixing and everything that Jews do.
Yeah, the usual things.
Well, I find it amazing how, 1,500, 2,000 Spanish soldiers could walk through all through Mexico and South America, take all their gold and slap them in the face and leave. That's some pretty brave people.
Yeah.
Well, everybody, I'm going to have to cancel out here. It was good talking to everybody.
Okay, Danny. Thanks for stopping, and God bless, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Same.
Yeah.
Yahweh bless you all.
Yahweh bless.
Okay.
Nice talking.
Hi, guys.
Hey, bye.
Bye-bye.
Sussex Man, I finally, today, at the beginning of this program, I finally published that obituary you had sent me on Richard Porter. And that JPEG image of that letter he wrote, right?
Oh, right.
It's on the Saxon Messenger site.
The photo. They said the only person you could get one from was from Allison, and I didn't fancy writing to her.
Maybe I should write her for a photo and give her the link to the obituary and ask her to please provide one. I'd have to be in a real devilish mood to do that, but it's a possibility. That'd be funny. It's probably not going to happen, though. I don't want to stir up a horn. I have to deal with her for another 6 months.
Well, she blames you and me for his death.
Well, right, and she's a sick woman because she can't even lie well, right? I mean, she sent me his email address in one of her mailings pretending to be him, and then she asked how I got his email address. She can't even keep her lie straight.
What surprises me is how the Jews could organize themselves and be capable of making all this like Zionists and all these societies, and they succeeded. And I was wondering if white people don't have something like this. I'm wondering why couldn't they organize.
It's because the organization, the center of organization for the Jewish people has been the synagogues. And the Jews control their own synagogues, but the Jews also control white churches. So both work in harmony for the advantage of the Jew. That's the way I look at it.
That's proven by time. Yeah.
Because foolish white men turned to the Jews for religious understanding.
Right.
They turned to the enemies of God for understanding about their own religion.
Right.
But we don't like what this Greek says.
They have a lot of societies, and white people seem to have no society, like, in order to compete them.
Yeah. Yeah, they have their clans.
Well, right, we have no coherence in our society because we don't care about our brother.
Yeah. No.
The Jews care about each other because they know that when one Jew does well, the others will follow. If one Jew bank can manage to loan money to a white government, then all the Jews in that community will thrive. They understand that. That they understand how money works. That they understand a lot of things that we never cared about because we're not creatures of mammon that the Jews are.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's sad, but
when a white man makes money, he wants to see how he could use the money to help his family, send his kids to school, save it for a rainy day, buy a new car. When a Jew makes money, he wants to use that money to rule over other people, and he wants to see where he could invest it, what kind of business he could start, how he could loan the money out to his advantage. White people don't do that stuff with money.
It's not our habit.
Right.
Yeah.
But we don't even think like they do, but we imagine that they think like we do.
Yeah. He who lives for the mammon will die by the mammon.
There's a lot of innate differences in our traits and practices and in the way we think that give them a great advantage over us when we allow them to enter into our society. I mean, that's the story of the wolves and the sheep, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's why Christ used those animals as allegories to explain the differences between us and them.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't just pick two animals out of a hat. He understood wolves and he understood sheep. And the Jews act just like wolves among the sheep. Mm-hmm. But the sheep don't, sheep in a farmer's field would understand that the wolf is dangerous. We don't understand that.
Yeah.
We don't. We want to treat the wolves like sheep instead of like wolves.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the simplest terms I could break it down in. And yeah, sheep need a shepherd. Most of our shepherds, that they're off, the wolves make their paychecks. The wolves have, that they've accepted the false promises of salvation that they get from the wolves.
Huh.
The pastors are all dumb dogs.
My white racial brothers and sisters.
How you doing, Robert?
Okay. Where's Robert?
Good. I'm sorry, mate. I'm going to have to listen to the recording.
Okay.
Yeah, we even started late today. Was the time all right? I guess the time was all right today because y'all showed up at when I thought yous might, when I was hoping yous would. Matthew was here early.
Yeah,
but yeah, I told Matthew that the time in America had changed. He didn't know.
Right. Well, I made it for 2 p.m. Eastern time so that it would be the same time for you.
Tia
didn't even notice, right?
No!
But well, I was on the ball this week.
they went back last week.
Right.
Or forward, whatever they do.
Right.
Well, I'll probably leave it at 2 p.m. Eastern time, even when your clocks change, so that you have that extra hour in the warm months, right? For the long days. I mean, that's what we did last year.
They change at the end of this month.
Right, yeah, there's usually a fortnight difference.
Yeah, there's the 27th. So
well, right, but what I'm saying is last year we left it at 2 p.m. New York time for the summer. Remember? But you would have the extra hour of daylight.
Yeah.
So I don't know why they don't do what I see Russia. They've decided not to change their times. Now they're keeping on the same time.
Well, good for them, because it's retarded.
Yes.
They said it's bad for people's
useless.
Health. You know, there's change of time. That's not an effect on people.
I think that's the silliest idea that's ever been devised by man, is to change the clock. I think it's ridiculous.
I think it's always the same chaos man at any time that knows to betray them. I hate that switch over. Certainly for
that's why they do it, because they know it has an ill effect on us. Anything that harms us, they do.
Oh, dear. No, that's his grandfather.
Yeah, that's me. My son didn't like my avatar. He insisted on taking a new picture.
All right. But how do you get the photograph in? Or anything you want?
You can upload it right here. I mean, you hit self and you hit upload avatar or change avatar or whatever it says.
Oh, there it is.
Kept self and hit set avatar. And you could, it has to be under 300 kilobytes and it has to be under 300 by 300, I think. It can't be bigger than 300 by 300.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. Yeah, I'll get a better picture when the warm weather comes, maybe.
Well, I
would have
I look like a vagrant in that picture.
Yeah.
That's a good description. Right.
Yeah.
Look like a hoodlum.
There's a grandfather. Yeah. All right. Good to know that. Now, if I have time next week, then I'll do so. Yeah. I want to have my picture behind the telescope. That's what I want.
I saw you have your Bavarian costume on, your Lederhosen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd like to see you in a little shorts with the suspenders. That'd be pretty funny, actually. the little alpine hat with the feather in it.
We're leaving again. Okay. Ah, yeah, so it is. Right. Oh, I noted the next team speak for the 7th of April. Is that right?
That sounds about right. But whatever the first Thursday is in April.
Yeah, the first full week. Yeah, the first day in April is that one. For the 1st of April is Friday.
Okay, then it would be the 7th.
Yeah, that's the 7th. I have it here on the calendar to make sure I'm not missing it. And that will be then normal time, 7 o'clock, summertime.
Well, you know, you guys change your time, and Britain changes their time. We can at all different times, so we'll just have it at 2 p.m. New York time. I don't know if your clock changes between now and then, or is that all right?
Yeah, that's
so that'd be 7 o'clock our time.
You're right.
Well, that's what if I mean, we could make it six if you want, but I remember last summer.
I like six.
You like six? Huh? We could keep it at six. But let's have a vote or something.
A seven, I think. It's time to have your dinner.
Okay, fair enough.
I just remembered it last summer when I changed it to 2 p.m. New York time, that everybody liked having the extra hour of daylight in the summertime, right?
Oh.
That's what I thought, anyway.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we need to catch up with a bit of gardening, some of us.
So what kind of time in gym in England would it be then? You're 6 o'clock, you're 7 o'clock.
It will be 7 here, so it will be 8 with you, won't
okay,
it?
Okay, there's 8 my eight. Clock, my time, yeah.
Yeah.
8 o'clock. Yeah, okay. Right. And then I have to say PM. Okay. Right.
It's noted.
Yeah. So, then I can't forget.
Clear sky, you won't be there. I expect you'll be looking for your telescope.
Well, at 8 o'clock? No, that's too late. It's them getting about an hour later. So that will be... Oh, and let me have a look. What time? What is doing then? That is... well, it's just the time that the moon is interfering. So he is some 3 days new. Yeah, he is going to interfere for us. Yeah, but it's, you know, an hour later getting dark, so that's no problem. If it's pitch dark and it's good weather, okay. Yeah. But I hope to have next week, after a week, huh? When I'm coming back then, then it's time to get some observation. From Saturday on next week. Then we might have some observational opportunity. That is right. But yeah, I hope so. I wonder. Yeah, and if, I hope it's not that dull gray again, that we get the blue night sky, for then we are lost, because I'm losing the blue light from the stars. I can't do the nebula photography anymore. It's a horror. Yeah. They are spraying all the rubbish, and we have to accept it for the time being. We do our best. More we can do. No.
Are you saying that the chemtrails are interfering with your work?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. They are absorbing blue, or scattering blue light. That means the last photographs I took from the Pleiades, I was expecting to see the blue nebula. Well, there's nothing on. Photograph is almost empty. You can see the Pleiades of stars, but there is a cloud of blue ionized gas around. It's not coming on the plate, even after 20 minutes. A year ago, it was different. It's interfering. It was expectable, but I didn't realize it until I had it so far. I said, where's my blue? The red is sufficiently coming through. That will do, but it's the blue it's now missing. Okay. We have to take it. I have no other solution. Yeah. Or go high up in the mountains. I don't have that stuff on my back. It's a bit too heavy all. Yeah.
I don't know why you just can't carry your telescope up the mountain. I mean, it's only a hollow tube, right? Little lens in it. I'm being facetious. But with your letter yodel and
the mounting, all that mounting stuff under it is a few hundred kilos. Yeah, double that in pounds. Yeah. Now, I don't have mobile equipment. That's what we formerly had. It's all too shaky. I don't like that. I made it now sturdy. I poured in about 900 kilograms, 1,800 kilograms of concrete, 1,800 pounds of concrete to make it really sturdy. Yeah. And if you bump your head, you say really ow or ouch. Yeah.
Yeah. But you maintain just about every facet of that telescope, I gather.
Yeah. You have to make it the surety as well. We have had experiences enough in the past. A tiny bit of wind and the whole stuff is moving. I don't like it. Now we have to work in arc seconds for the accuracy. So it must be really sturdy and heavy. The more heavy it is, the better it is. We have to learn our lessons in the hard way. Yeah. And even for bending through, you have to be so very careful. It's always bending a bit, a few arc seconds through. You should not have it. It must be really sturdy and stiff. Yeah. Over the years, you will.
So why haven't you seen the Biru yet? It should be here by now. I mean, it's so big and so close.
Yeah, big and bright, and infrared, yeah. Yeah, that was a really misleading rubbish. Yeah, yeah. That thing is unscriptural, even. Yeah, the scripture doesn't say such things, and I won't believe it. Yeah.
Well, I'm sure Eli will have pictures soon from somewhere.
But nobody. Yeah, they find the holes somewhere. Yeah.
I can't wait till 2013.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. On Facebook, we just had the other day an information on television here of a specialist in software and a specialist about the internet, and he said, no, don't go on Facebook. He was advising it. It's not.
Oh, no.
It's too risky. It's too dangerous. You can. Yeah. It's for the profit of the advertisers, not for you. Yeah.
I would maintain your privacy.
Yeah, right. That's always better. A lot better. Safer.
Well, that's why I have my own Facebook, right? WilliamFink.net. And I have full control over what I post there and who goes there and. That's the way it should be.
Who goes on? Yeah, that's
I just heard that it's more easier for thieves to know about how rich a person is by looking into their Facebook account. Because they put their address there, their cars, their house, everything.
Yeah, it's one of the dangerous things you can do. So I also learned my lesson. Stay off. Yeah, if you need.
Yeah, well, I go there, but I don't share all that data, right? I don't share anything I might want to care about, right?
Yeah. Right, yeah. So there are a lot of people who are writing all the whole day and night book on it, and I better don't do it. Yeah. Yeah.
I really go there just to spam Chris Degenia, just to put links up to my website and try to get people interested in the message, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Ephraim and Nasser, E.M., yeah. Eastern Meridian.
Yeah, that's Robert Eastern Meridian, right? That's a good thing.
Yeah.
You have to use Facebook instead of letting it use you.
Yeah.
Don't give them any information that they could use in targeted marketing. And they're not that slick, because I just for the hell of it, every time I go there, I mark all the dating advertisements as offensive, and they keep sending me dating advertisements. I don't believe it, but they keep posting them up there.
Yeah.
I purposely mark them as offensive every time I go there, thinking that, well, if they were really smart about targeted marketing, they wouldn't send me these anymore, but they still send them. So they don't have their acts together that well.
Yeah.
I'm curious, Bill, did you receive until now any death threat or something like that?
No, never.
Threatening you?
No, never. I'd invite them to try. I've had a few goofy hate mails, you know, that people wanted to argue with me and tell me how stupid I am. I've had a few emails like that, but I've never received any threats or anything that would make me worry.
That's good.
I've had people argue with me, try to argue with me about the Bible. I usually post them right on Christogenia when I get them, right? With their email address and everything. The stupid hate mail I get.
Yeah. That's nothing. We can't use it.
Yeah, I don't get any threats or anything. I might be on this this Oracle broadcasting program soon, though. That might be interesting because it'll let a few new people hear my message. That might be cool. I just got an invitation today. I don't know what he wants to talk about, but that might be fun. I'll find out. I'll write him in the morning.
Okay.
Well, they do seem to allow more free speech on there than RBN or other places.
Right. Well, you know, I can civilize my language, of course, but I'm not going to tone it down. That's just not going to happen. I can't guarantee that I won't respond in certain ways to certain questions, right? It's not going to happen.
But if you've got some idea of your audience, you know how to reproduce the answers that they'll understand, because that's the idea, isn't it?
Right. But, well, I mean, the best example I got is the Patriot Dames interview right now. I mean, that's the best I could be. That's my best behavior right there. If you can't take that, then don't talk to me.
It was good. It was very good. Apart from the fact she nearly ran off with you.
It's funny because there's this real nice woman. She's about she's about 45 years old, and she's just a joy to listen to. She's real nice. She's from British Columbia, right? All the way on the other side of the world from you. Well, she had remarked last week about that interview on right here on TeamSpeak, and she said she tried to run off with me too, and I'm like, you think so? I got to get back in touch with her because she asked me about a program maybe in March or April, and March is half gone, but I'm so damn busy all the time, I can't. I spent a great deal of my time this week on techie stuff, but I set up some really cool programs. I could sit here now and watch every packet request that comes over the internet to my Christogenia server. Every single request, I could just sit here and watch it on my screen now. And that's pretty cool. It's only two small programs I had installed to do it too. It's real easy. And you should see the amount of attempts from that I'm getting on my server from China and Malaysia and a couple from Britain. People trying to hack my server.
All right.
Yeah. And I've the software that I installed yesterday helped me shut them all down.
Wow.
Hmm.
How often does that happen? Attempts.
Well, I don't know because I just started really paying attention to it, right? I mean, I just got to the point where I could start watching it.
All right.
And all this takes time, you know. I'm on a learning curve too, but.
Yeah.
As I get savvier,
Well, it stands to reason that they would want. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure that they have bots that test every server on the internet. Some of these hackers, they're not. They're just trying to get in and get free services or use you for a mailing relay for junk mail or whatever. So if they see they could get in, you know, they're not really all looking to do something malicious, but they're all looking to take advantage of you in one way or another. Some of them might be malicious, but
yeah.
They really want to see what they could get their hands on or what they could use to their advantage.
Yeah.
Oh, I got to get this same program going on my other server maybe tonight after the Bible study. Speaking of which, I have a Bible study to do in 2 hours, and I need some time to eat
and
stuff like
that.
Oh,
well, we'd better get off then.
This program's probably gotten stale an hour ago, but I hate to chase you, because you've only come twice a month, right? Well, thanks for being here, everybody. And
thank you very much.
Yeah, see you.
God bless,
and I'll see you on April 7th, right? And you might hate me for this, but I just have to do it. It is St. Patrick's Day, right?
Okay.
Okay.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank
you,
man.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
schiet de dom.
Tissue, tissue.